Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here. It's time for Ask the Tech Guys. Today, just one tech guy. Micah Sargent has the week off, but we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Dick DiBartolo has a couple of really fun gadgets for the heat wave that's coming this summer. I've got a new gadget from Google. It's called the Pixel Tablet, and we'll answer a question about why my website is so slow to load. It's all coming up next on Ask the Tech Guys.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Ask the Tech Guys with Micah Sargent and Leo Laporte. Episode 1980, recorded Sunday, June 25th, 2023. 132 tiny bubbles. This episode of Ask the Tech Guys is brought to you by Thinkst Canary, because thousands of ignored alerts help nobody. Get one alert that matters. For 10% off and a 60-day money-back guarantee, go to canary.tools/twit and enter the code TWIT in the How Did You Hear About Us box. And by Fastmail. Reclaim your privacy, boost productivity, and make email yours with Fastmail. Try it now free for 30 days at fastmail.com/twit. And by ACI Learning. CIOs and CISOs agree that attracting and retaining talent is critical. With an average completion rate of over 80%, your team deserves the entertaining and cutting-edge training they want. Fill out the form at go.acilearning.com/twit for more information on a free 2-week training trial for your team. And by CashFly. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods and 30% faster than other major CDNs. Meet customer expectations 100% of the time. Learn how you can get your first month free at CashFly.com. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Welcome to Ask the Tech Guys. No S, because Mike has the day off. Lucky dog. So it's just you and me. And we're going to do a lot of questions today. If you have a question, you can do, there are three ways to reach us. You can call us 888-724-2884, 888-724-2884. It spells something, it spells many things, nothing memorable. So I'm just going to give you the numbers. You can also use Zoom. We love to see you. If you want to use Zoom, just take your smartphone and go to the browser and type in call.twit.tv. If you've got Zoom, it'll open it up, but you can also do it in the browser. The reason we like that is because we know your phone already has a working microphone and camera, we hope, if it's not broken. And by the way, you can always turn the camera off. We don't have to see you. It's just nice. If you don't mind, we'd like to put you in our Tech Guys Stargate. And there's an email, atg@twit.tv, atg@twit.tv. As you might have guessed, I'm just back from, two things. Lisa was on a panel at VidCon, which is the big convention for streamers, video, like creators, I guess is really the right way to put it, the creator convention. It's been going on for some years. Hank and John Green started it, YouTubers. It was eventually purchased by Viacom, and so Paramount Plus has a big presence there. Chief sponsor had been for years YouTube. Last year it was TikTok. Again, YouTube this year. So TikTok only 1 year. And it's interesting to go see that because there are, you know, you see a long line stretching, you know, across half the show floor and you go, well, that must be somebody famous. And you get there and it's some guy wearing a mask who's a Minecraft guy or whatever. Big audience presentations competing with large, you know, kind of auditorium style setups, but they're in the conference area. So it's open. Maybe 200 or 300 seats, 500 seats, a big bunch, probably 200 people in each, and panels going on of well-known YouTubers that I've never heard of. But man, the kids are so happy to be there, and they're screaming. And I saw one of them. They said, we got the next episode. You want to see it? It was some sort of ghost hunting thing. And the kids went crazy, and then they showed. And it's really interesting to me to go to these events because you see what's happened to media in our time. Of course, we're a big part of that, which is instead of, as I grew up and maybe you grew up, you know, three networks, you know, a handful of channels on your television, you know, and you could only watch it when it was on. I mean, I'm older than VCRs even. And even if you had a VCR, you probably couldn't figure out how to program it. So you could only watch it when it was on. It's only with the advent of TiVo and DVRs that we actually can time shift effectively, I think. So it was the whole country was watching one show. You know, everybody was watching 60 Minutes on Sunday night, you know. And so the conversations the next day were kind of more unified. Now it's completely, the media landscape has completely splintered. In fact, that's why streaming networks, you know, like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Apple TV Plus and Paramount Plus, which was there, are all struggling a little bit because, and frankly, all the podcasts, our network as well, are struggling a little bit because you have a lot more choices. I think that's a great thing. And what's really happened is it's kind of the rise of the niche, that if you are really into, you know, ghost hunting, well, there's a YouTube channel for that, or Minecraft, or there's many YouTube channels for that. In fact, it's split up. So you would think, well, it's splintered into the Minecraft people and the ghost hunting people. No, the Minecraft people are split up into hundreds of shards, each with their own fandom, their own stars. And you really see this when you go to VidCon. These people to that group are as big a star as Paul Newman and Robert Redford were in my day. They are huge. They're getting autographs. They're lining up. Actually, nowadays, mostly selfies people do. It's really interesting to see. And it really is a shift. It's really changed. So it was great to go to VidCon. Lisa, my wife, was on a panel about B2B creators. This is a whole nother new area where businesses are saying, well, you know, we ought to have a channel somewhere. They're talking about LinkedIn and Substack and newsletters. In fact, in some sophisticated cases, they have YouTube and TikTok and Instagram as well. So it's really interesting to see how this has shifted. Thousands of channels. It does mean that any individual channel isn't going to make as much money. This is why Netflix is, you know, I think they're making plenty of money, but they're still like nervous about all of this. It's getting fragmented up quite a bit. It's, you know, who's really nervous, of course, is the networks and the cable companies because everybody's watching on the internet. Everybody's watching YouTube. YouTube's their big winner. TikTok's a big winner. Facebook with Instagram is the big winner. These are the places people put their videos. These are the places you and I go to see those videos. So these platforms are making all the money. Very, very interesting. Then we went to Disneyland, old school media, right? And Disney is very, very smart. It's now a very well-run company. Wasn't for a while. Remember, it went through a trough. But is now run. Bob Iger came back and it's run very well. And you see how Disney realized this was happening when they bought Marvel and they bought Star Wars. They spent billions of dollars for these well-known properties because they realized even within their world, you were going to have these fandoms and you had to, and you wanted, you know, so we ran when we opened, went in the door on a Wednesday to go to Disney World. We ran to the Star Wars ride. Was a Rise of the Resistance is the hot ride right now. There was already a 1 hour line at 7:30 in the morning. The ride doesn't even open till 8 a.m. There's already a 1 hour line. It's just shows you we are big fans, right? We love content. We all love content. We love being entertained. There's more content than ever before. And you really can see that. It hurts us as a small network because, you know, we need your participation. We need you to watch. Otherwise, it's hard for us to sell advertising, or we need you to join the club. We can also, you know, survive if each of you pays $7 a month. We can survive that way, too. But as there's so many other choices for you, I understand completely. You know, you get a lot of people vying for your time, your leisure time. That's great, right? You have more choices. That's wonderful. So we're struggling with a little bit with that. You may know we had to cancel a couple of shows this week all about Android and hands-on photography just because of lack of interest. And I don't think it was the hosts. I think we have the best hosts in the world with Ant Pruitt and Jason Howell and Micah Sargent. I know they're doing a great job. It's not that at all. It's just the market is fragmenting. And some shows just have to fall off the... And we don't have Disney resources. We fund our shows, self-fund out of my pocket. And so we can only do the shows that make money. And when a show's losing money for more than a year, we just have to kind of cut the cord. So it breaks my heart. I apologize to those of you who are fans of those shows. We are going to keep the Discord alive there. And both Jason and Ann are going to do more in the club. And I think that in the long term is what's going to make a difference for us. Word of warning before we get to our first call. Bakersfield, California. A woman, 61-year-old woman, her car was stolen. She had an AirTag in it, one of these Apple AirTags, and took it on herself to track down the stolen car. Do not do that. She was murdered. She was murdered. This happened in March. She didn't call the police. She just said, I know where my car is. I'm going to go get it. They have arrested the four men who killed her. They stole the car. And when she caught up to them, they said, no, we're going to keep the car. So I only mention that as a cautionary tale, because I think sometimes people go, oh, yeah, I see exactly where my iPhone is. I see exactly where it is. I'm just going to go get it. Don't go. Find My is not to solve the theft problem. Find My is to when you lose your keys in the couch problem. Please do yourself a favor. It is a very, very dangerous thing to do. 888-724-2884 is the phone number. And I am going to pick up right now our first call. I see Marianne is I've been seeing her. She called in before the show, so I want to put her on. Oh, and can I take this silly hat off now? Okay.
I'll allow it.
Will you allow it, John Ashley? I can't. It's entangled. It's in my hairpiece. I can't take it off. Hello, Marianne.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Ask the Tech Guy. I'm sorry Mike is not here to help, but I can do my best. What's up?
Well, it's a pretty dinosaur question because I am a dinosaur. But I just set up a new computer. I stayed with Windows 10, 64-bit, Office 2016. I wrote it down so I wouldn't like mess this up. Years ago, I think it was you.
Uh-oh.
That gave me a registry hack so that I could hit file new and get to the templates the way I wanted to get.
Yes.
And it was, so I did that hack before even looking at anything, and everything's working great. Everything's working fantastic until a few minutes in. So I hit file new. I go to all my hundreds and thousands of templates. And then all of a sudden, and I have it on the screen here, my pin templates are at the top, but below that is the Office templates in Spanish, not my templates. And this
that's not useful at all unless you're doing Spanish language.
Close out. If I have like six Excel files open, I have to close out of everything, restart, and then I'm back to normal. But you can imagine how distracting that is when you're doing.
So Word has been told either by Windows or by you at some point that you want Spanish. And but you're using the same Word you used before. It's still Office 2016, right?
Yes. And we're talking Excel, not that it makes a difference.
Excel, Word, same thing. Yeah. What do you do that you have so many templates? Are you a bookkeeper, accountant?
And so I work on retirement plans, and I do so many things. And I have probably, I'm going to say, 200 templates that are active. I have a lot.
Wow. So you're absolutely a power user.
I'm a workhorse. Yeah. I'm a minutia. I'm not a leader. I'm not a visionary. It's my own company, but
you're a leader because there's no one. That's it. It's you, right? No, there's no one. You're a leader. You're a leader.
It was a good business model. I could have made more money, but it was a good business model in today's time.
So I
don't have to find an employee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if are you? I didn't ask you what city you're calling from.
I'm in Huntington Beach, California.
Yeah, in California, it's better to be an employee than an employer or a sole proprietor. It is.
Looked at some real estate in Tennessee.
Yeah, California really, and I don't think it's a bad thing, but they really favor the employee, which makes it often difficult to run a business.
Yeah.
So I am confused about. So you're getting the templates you want are pinned to the top, and that's good. And they're in English.
Well, that's like six or seven that I almost use on a daily basis.
But you want to see all the rest as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you know, I noticed when I set this computer up, which I just did 2 weeks ago, and it's really painful to set up a new computer.
Oh, I know.
because I want everything to be the exact way. But I noticed in the language section, it has English as default and it has Spanish below that. I tried to delete it, but it won't let me.
Try it in Windows itself, in the Windows settings.
I'm on my computer if you want to.
Oh, I don't know if I have the patience to walk you through it, but I do think that in your settings, there's regional settings in your control panel. And make sure
Windows setting.
That's the only concern, since you set it up brand new, that it might be confused about where you are. So make sure the regional settings are U.S. And you might even want to look at your clock settings and have it set automatically, which means it needs location and stuff like that. And it gets the location from your internet address. So unless you have, maybe you have a Mexican ISP. No, you probably don't. Your internet service provider is Frontier, Cox.
Spectrum.
So Spectrum's in the U.S. So if it's looking at your IP address, it should say, oh, yeah, she's in Huntington Beach. That shouldn't be a question.
What about the fact that it's going to the, you know how when you hit file new, you've got office, then personal? Let me do it your direction. Office, then personal.
Yeah.
So you could click on office, and that's where it's going. And then when this happens, those two options go away.
You don't see personal anymore?
No. Hmm. So something, maybe I should uninstall and reinstall.
No. What happened is, please don't. I know. That sounds painful. I can see the pain. I think, honestly, it's not your Office install. It's your Windows install. Hit the Windows key, type language. That'll bring up the language settings. Make sure that Spanish is unchecked. You can even remove Spanish language files if you want to do that. There are two places in Office. Joe has this in our IRC. In Office 2016, one is in the general settings and one is under the keyboard layout. So make sure that in 2016, you've set English US for both of those.
I'm in the keyboard and I can set from use the list recommended, or I can set that's what it was set to, and I just changed it to English.
Yeah. Here's one from ScooterX has found it. Here, ScooterX has found a micro template titles displaying in Spanish in Excel. Now this comes from 2015, an Office 2013.
Yeah, I Googled the heck out of this, and everything I went to was right from the beginning, it went to Spanish. I have this unusual problem where everything's normal, and then if I have, say, three sheets open and I go, well, not even that long. By the time I get to the second file new, this happens, but not the first time.
Oh, that's
when I close out. That's,
That is the problem, these days is everything is so complicated and there's so many interacting systems that you don't know why Office has just suddenly decided to show Spanish Excel templates. There's three at least places to look. One is in the Windows language settings. Then there's two within Office. I'm looking at this 2015 support document. This is probably not your system issue, but it says Microsoft's reply is, this issue is not determined by a feature, so in order to resolve it, it'd be best to uninstall and reinstall Office. Ay, ay, ay. Don't do that.
I see that a lot.
Don't do that. Yeah, you see that too. That's kind of the default answer for everything. Just uninstall and reinstall it. But let's see if we can not do that. There is in the control panel. Now, this is old, though, so I don't know if this is going to be the same thing. In programs and features where you have your Office 2016 install, there's an online repair option.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
Yeah, try that just in case that's something that's gone wrong. But I think you probably, somewhere in the language setting, it's indicated that your preferred language or one of your preferred languages is Spanish.
I have Outlook 365, and I think it was there that I can't even delete the Spanish option.
Oh, it gets crazy. You're probably wise to stick with 2016 because Microsoft, that's way old. Microsoft now wants you to subscribe monthly 7 years old, wants you to subscribe monthly to Office 365, right? My, or they call it Microsoft 365 to add to the confusion. So I think that at this point, if you
don't want,
you know, honestly, the best thing to do would be subscribe to Office.
I don't want to change it. Yeah, I got 2016 only because of the aggregate function.
Yeah, you don't. You don't want to. Yeah.
2007. Before that, I was perfectly happy, and then I discovered that aggregate function, which was a really cool, cool thing.
Yeah. You do have Outlook 365, but not Office, not the whole thing, just Outlook.
Yeah, because of the whole server, all that stuff. I don't understand, like the hosting for my email.
Right. Yeah, this is how they get you to move.
Okay, well, I'll play around. It's not a clear, obvious fix. Maybe I should reverse that registry hack.
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it at all. All that really did is put some templates, you know, where your templates are.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
File new, and there are all your templates.
I don't think that's, well, you could try reversing it. You know how to redo it, so you could try reversing it just to see. I would also look at that folder, make sure that those Spanish language Excel templates aren't in the folder there.
They're not.
Okay. So it gives you the pinned ones, which are what's in the folder. And then where it would normally give you the standard English language Excel templates, it's giving you Spanish.
I just thought of something. Where it normally would give me personal Office, I could click on Office. And by the way, when I do, that's in Spanish. So I don't know that the Spanish is the issue. The issue is when this happens, I'm in the Office template location, not in my template location. That's really the issue.
I think you're right.
Although I should fix the Spanish issue.
Yeah. Too. I mean, you're going to get Office templates. When you fix it, it'll be in English, but you're still going to get the standard templates.
Yeah. And so it'll go. Yeah. Because it eliminates that personal Office tab. And in Office, I have it. Obviously, my option saved is pointing to the right place. It's just ignoring that if I'm in a new it's probably because I'm in a new instance.
How old is so you got this as a brand new computer?
Brand new computer.
And is it a Dell, did you say?
Yeah, I didn't say, but how'd you know that? You're like a psychic.
Well, my chat room is, because the flaw in our chat room says Office 365 is pre-installed on the Dells. And so that may be what's happening, is you've got, without your knowledge, two offices. There's a demo version of Microsoft 365. So go into the install and uninstall programs and remove the Dell provided Office. And I think everything will be back to normal. If not, reinstall the Office 2016 you have. You don't have to uninstall first. Just reinstall it after you uninstall the Microsoft 365. You've got a conflict.
Okay. You're great. You helped me like 15 years ago on something very important to me. So I think you're wonderful. And my mother used to constantly tell me about you when she was alive. Except I couldn't get early enough to call. I think you're on KFI.
Yeah, well now, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 11 to 1.
Perfect time for me.
Pacific. I'm here every Sunday, anytime. It's a pleasure seeing you again after all this time. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And thanks to our chat. Bye-bye. Our IRC is really on top of this. That was a very good suggestion, Flop. There's Office 365 pre-installed on the Dell machine. And that is, it makes sense. That is that's why you don't have the changes you made aren't taking, because it's conflicting. So get rid of the Office 365, perhaps reinstall Office 2016, go back to that registry fix so that you get the templates you want in the folder you want. I think everything will be okay. We have lots more calls. We have emails. I'm going to be very busy today. Dick DiBartolo coming up in half an hour. The Giz Fizz with a gadget or a gizmo that no one will want before we go on any further. I've got to take this hat off. I am so mixed up with my hat and my headphones. I don't think, I'm amazed Marianne could take me seriously, to be honest with you. Here's a guy wearing Mickey Mouse ears giving her an answer and she took it. I didn't get this in Disneyland. I've had this forever. A fan brought it to me, I think, many years ago, because you can't get these anywhere anymore in Disneyland. They're all fancied up now, all gussied up. We'll just put it right there. Our show today brought to you by, this is a great device. Speaking of B2B, if you have a business and you want to make sure it's secure, the Thinkst Canary. Here's the problem. You've got great, we do this too. We've got great perimeter defenses, right? Bad guys can't get in because, you know, we've got the walls up and so forth. But what if they do? What if they do? When the bad guys get in, how do you know they're in, right? You just assume, oh, it's safe. No, you need some way of alerting you. That's what the canary is, the canary in the coal mine. The Thinkst Canary, little tiny, they're about the size of a USB hard drive. You just plug them into your network. You configure them, and you can configure them to anything you want. Mine is set up as a Synology NAS, but it could be a Windows machine. It could be a Linux machine. It could be, I mean, really a SCADA device. I mean, it could be anything you want. What it does is it sits on your network and it looks attractive, not vulnerable, attractive. It looks like something a bad guy who's in your network is going to investigate, because that's what they're doing. They're wandering around your network looking and see what you got so they can exfiltrate customer information. You know, they blackmail you with that so they can look at where you back things up so that they can make sure that the ransomware encrypts that too. So they spend time, sometimes months. I think the average is 91 days between a breach and your discovery of the breach. How about 0 days with the Canary? Thinkst hardware, VM, and cloud-based canaries are deployed on all 7 continents. They can be set up in minutes. Yes, they have VM and cloud-based canaries as well. They can be set up in minutes with no ongoing overhead and nearly zero false positives. Look at all this canary love. This is at canary.tools/love. All of the unsolicited tweets and emails from CTOs and CISOs and IT security gurus saying you got to have this thing. No false positives means when you get that alert, there's somebody in your network. We've only had one alert once in all the years we've run our Canary. And that was when Megan brought in a Western Digital NAS that for some reason decided to probe every port in the network. I got the alert. I immediately saw the IP address it was coming from. We went over. We unplugged it. And that's it. But that really made me feel good to know that anytime someone's trying to access files. Oh, you can set up lures as well. They call them canary tokens. They're fake files. I have a few named things like payrollinformation.xls. Fake files, but as soon as somebody tries to open it or brute force it or SSH into it, you will know you've got a problem. Canary uses deceptively uncomplicated, high-quality markers of trouble on your network. You choose a profile for your Canary device. It could be a brand-name router. Could be a Linux server. If you want, you could further tweak the services your Canary runs. For instance, you want a specific IIS server version or OpenSSH or Windows file share. You can have actual files constructed according to your naming scheme. And everything looks exactly as real. There's nothing to tip off the adversary. The MAC addresses are real. The logins are real. Then you register your Canary with a hosted console for monitoring and notifications. By the way, notifications come any way you want. SMS, text, data, messaging, webhooks, API. You can build your own. They support email, of course. It's rare to find a security product that people not only can tolerate, but actually one that they love. That's why if you go to canary.tools/love, you'll be amazed at the people who love the Canary. Visit canary.tools/twit to get your Canary. I'll give you an example of pricing so you're not surprised. If you wanted 5, which, you know, a small operation would have 5. Big bank might have hundreds. $7,500 a year for 5 canaries. You get, of course, your own hosted console, upgrades, support, maintenance. You sit on your Canary, you break it, they'll send you a new one, no questions asked. If you use the code TWIT in the How Did You Hear About Us box, you'll get 10% off the price for life. And to reassure you, they have a 2-month, 60-day money-back guarantee for a full refund. To further reassure you, I will tell you that during all the years we've done these ads, and it's been many now, There has not been one request for a refund. Everybody loves these things. Visit Canary. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Canary.tools/twit. Don't forget that. Canary.tools/twit and the code twit in the How Did You Hear About Us box for 10% off for life. Thank you, Canary, for supporting our shows. We really appreciate that. And you support us by going to that address. Canary.tools/twit. Don't forget the offer code TWIT. We try with our advertisers. Sometimes advertisers want specific shows. We try to explain to them, no, ain't nobody going to remember ATTG as the offer code. Just use TWIT. Everybody uses TWIT. So thank you, Canary, for understanding that. They use TWIT for the offer code. But they'll know that you saw it here. On we go. You know what? I wouldn't mind doing an email. Let's see here. There's a whole stack that's piled up. I don't know how we have a magic system to print these out. It's called John Ashley. All right. From Sunshine Black. Hi, Sun. What an interesting name. I have a vintage late 70s, early 80s stereo with turntable. So it's, you know, old school, not digital. A lot of the, if you buy a turntable these days, a lot of them have USB ports on them, which is weird, or cables. So you can connect it up to your USB stereo. Some of them have AirPlay, but this is old school. This has got nothing but those phono connectings coming out. Do you know what type of Bluetooth transmitter I need? And can the receiver option be used on one? I'm thinking you want to set up, you want to play a record on your turntable and you want to listen on Bluetooth headphones, maybe? You must right now be using, okay, this is okay. So John Slanina, who is our guru for interpreting a 1970s stereo equipment, because he has it quite a bit. I think what's going on, I hope what's going on, I imagine what's going on is that you've connected your turntable to a receiver, right? If not, I think all bets are out, because what you really need is an amplifier. A turntable is unbalanced out, right? It's and it's very low level, so you've got to have an amplifier. Even for headphones, you've got to have an amplifier. So you've got something.
He needs a phono preamplifier first.
Yeah, because the phono is very, very different than any other kind of input,
yeah,
right?
It's different.
It's unbalanced and it's low level. So, yeah, that's Benito, by the way. Also, apparently a 70s stereo guru. Do you have a turntable at home, Benito?
I do. I listen to vinyl.
Aw, that's so sweet. There's a new record store opening in town. Did you see that downtown?
I was there last week.
On Kentucky. Did you see it? Yeah. I'm looking at it thinking, who the hell's going there? Now I know. Benito and Sunshine Black. So yeah, you need some sort. Now, I'm assuming that Sunshine Black's using this turntable, which means you have a phono amp on there, probably a receiver of some kind or an amplifier of some kind. So I'm going to assume that you're not just taking a record player and trying to get it to Bluetooth. No, I see this, John. I'm looking at your interpretation. So I'm going to assume you have a receiver. He just says he has a stereo. Oh, stereo, right? So stereo would mean he's got a receiver or an amp. Yeah, I get it. I get what you're pointing at. It was really tiny. So if your stereo receiver has tape out, which it almost certainly does since it's from the 70s, then any Bluetooth transmitter with left-right RCI plugs will work, right? Red and white. Plug those in, and now that's a Bluetooth transmitter. It's getting its input from the receiver or the amp that you're using. So you've got, I'm going to assume, some middle ground that's powering your speakers. You can then plug that transmitter in. And then if you want to run headphones or Bluetooth speakers somewhere else in the house. Remember, you have somewhat of a limit. Bluetooth isn't really designed to go farther than 10 meters, 30 feet. So, you know, it's not going to be on the other side of the house in most cases. But a Bluetooth transmitter will do that. There are plenty of Bluetooth transmitters with phono left-right RCA plugs on Amazon. They're cheap. They're $10. Those should all work. So you're not going to plug it into the phonograph, right? You're not going to plug it into that. You're going to plug it in to the receiver. Let's move on. I've got Michael on the line, on the horn. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Ask the Tech Guys. Leo Laporte by himself this week because I left Micah in Disneyland by accident.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome, Michael. Where are you calling from?
Good. I'm calling from Bonnie Lake, Washington, Leo.
Bonnie Lake. Where's that?
That is a suburb of Seattle.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Southeast. Oh, I know. See? Beautiful.
How's the weather today? Is that your weather?
Yeah, this is live. This isn't some.
It's not a green screen with fake blue sky.
Oh, man. No. I called you guys, I think on show one or two the new format.
Welcome.
And I had a problem, you know, with my searching of files on hard drives because I did not have it, I didn't have indexing turned on or something. That saved me hours later in life.
Yes.
The question, and then also I just took about a 6-week trip over to Europe and I used Polar Steps all along the way based on your recommendation.
Yeah, how did you like that?
It's unbelievable because it knows where you are, of course.
Yes, it's using your phone's GPS.
It's unbelievable. And then I used a travel router to hook up to those funny hotels over there. So all my devices, I didn't have to log in each one. You know, we take about 7 devices now, don't we?
It's amazing. You know, in some ways it's made travel better because you never get lost in, you know, Venice.
Absolutely.
You know where you are.
Yeah.
But you also lose some of that mystery. where am I? I don't know what's happening. Let's just find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. So here's the question. Yeah. I have some old phones that I use, for if I want to listen to podcasts or if I want to connect to the internet, almost like a radio, you know. I don't have self service with it.
Right.
So I have some that have old versions of Android, and I think they're up to 12 or 13 now. Is that correct?
Yeah. Android 13, okay. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have Moto phones, and I want to go to a website and force down an update to 12 or 13. Is
Got
that
it.
Possible?
Yes. Possibly. Moto phones for sure. This is the website, xda-developers.com.
Well, holy smokes. Do I need to write this or are you going to put it in your
show notes?
We'll
put it in the show
notes.
We'll put it in the show notes.
All right.
Yeah, they're very scant, but they'll be there. Right, John Ashley? Right.
Okay. Thank you, John.
The idea here is you're going to search for your exact model of Moto phones. And so I'll just enter in a search as an example, Moto X, which I really loved the Moto X. That was a great phone. And
I like the price points of the Motos. It seems like, you know, they work well. You're not paying an arm and a leg.
They were great phones. I was mad at Google when they sold it off to Lenovo. So first of all, you'll see the news, which is good, that Lineage OS, which is one of the, you know, enthusiast built versions of Android, supports as old as a 2014 Moto X with the latest build, which means you're going to get, Android 13. I don't know, Android 14, maybe, who knows how up to date they are.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. But what you really want to do is go to their, go ahead.
But is it controlled by Motorola?
No. Motorola is not going to offer an update. No Android device manufacturer offers updates for more than 5 or 6 years. They're not. They don't.
Yeah, and this is my backyard. By the way,
I am so jealous.
See how pretty it is?
Yeah.
Come
so it's
up,
not.
Man.
So you see, I want to move to Washington State. I'm going to have to look
Bonnie
at
Lake.
Bonnie Lake. But
this is Go ahead.
Everybody says, "Oh, it's gloomy." I think that's propaganda put out by you Washington Staters. To keep us Californians from moving in because the weather's beautiful.
And Leo, there's no income tax, man.
That's why we're moving there, baby. But it won't be till retirement. Not soon, but I'm going to retire up there, I think.
Come to Trilogy. Get to Holly, Bonnie Lake, Washington.
I will.
I don't even do any yard work.
So
it's all done by the HOA.
That's exactly why we're moving. Sorry. We don't want to do it. We have 3 acres, and the yard work's killing us. So, what you want to do is you want to go.
And I'll host you.
You want to? Okay, deal. XDA has become really. This used to be a big forum. Now, oh yeah, there we go. Go to forums. Go to XDA Developer, then forums, then search for your model, and what you'll find is the software you need. What you have to do with any Android phone that is out of date. Is you have to root it. Now, the good news is on almost all Android phones, getting root is not only allowed and permitted, but fairly easy to do. You'll have to run a program on your computer that you connect your phone to with a cable that basically unlocks the firmware. At that point, you're going to be able to do anything you want. And there are a variety of third-party, they call them ROMs. They're basically firmware. There's a variety of third-party firmware that you could put on your Motorola phone and take that phone all the way up to Android, I'm sure, 14 and beyond.
All right.
Lineage OS is a very good one. These are created by enthusiasts. Yep. These are not created by companies for the most part. It's not by Motorola. Good. It's not by Lenovo. Lenovo wants you to buy a new phone. They don't want you to keep that one going. So if you have an older Android phone, go to xda-developers.com. Go to the forum. And search for your model exactly. And by the way, when I say exactly, I mean, if you know the model number, you know, 1921, A73 or whatever it is.
And you get that in settings, don't you?
It's in settings.
Get that in
about the settings, about phone.
About.
Yep. Put that model number in. And because these instructions vary, they're very specific to the model. And it will tell you how to take that phone, how to root it. That's the first part. And then once you root it, you're going to put some software on there that will let you try different ROMs and so modify the firmware. It's a little complicated. There's one little final step because these are not from Google. They don't pay license to Google for the Google apps. To make this a real Android phone, you're going to want the G apps, they call it. And there's almost always this place you download those, and then it turns it into a full Google Android distribution. This is all because Android is open source, and Google, when they put out Android, really encouraged manufacturers not to lock the firmware, not to prevent people from rooting it. So in most cases, Samsung's one of the few exceptions. In most cases, you can easily root your phone, and again, XDA developers will have the details on how to do it, the possible risks.
Perfect.
And where to get the software for it. It's a great way.
And
to
I do have a Sam. Yeah. So I have, taken the Evil Empire and I do have a Samsung Fold on its way to me.
You should wait
because I need two screens going in the car.
I don't want to say anything, but Android, but they're going to announce new Folds and Flips, soon. When is the Android event? It's in June, I thought it was in June.
I don't want to pay top dollars. Hey, by the way, that gal who called you about her Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
That gal could be the new tech gal, I think.
She's great. You can tell she's a complete, complete geek, right? And it's funny because I talk to people like her and she said, I don't understand. What are you talking about? You're a power user. Lady, come on.
You see all these roofs around my neighborhood here?
Yes.
Okay, I've had a drone on the top of every one of them.
You're as bad as I am, my friend.
because if it gets too high in the wind, right? You know, you're all cocky when it's at 10 feet. You go up, and the wind takes it, you know, to hell and gone. So,
story of my life.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah, so I know. So anyway, thank you for everything.
Hey, pleasure,
you do.
Michael. Thanks for listening.
My podcast.
XDA-developers, go to the forums. They have everything you need. It's a great place to go. So take care,
pleasure,
Michael.
Thank you.
And Scooter X has sent us this way overpriced Bluetooth transmitter from Fio. Fio makes very good what they call analog to digital converters, FIIO. This one's $120 at B&H, but it does all sorts of stuff. You know, I don't think you need a high fidelity Bluetooth transmitter receiver if you're using records, or do you, John? I don't know. If you want to get all the pristine analog goodness, if you want to hear every click and pop, maybe you need that. Anyway, Fio makes very good stuff. I certainly recommend that. I don't think you need to spend that. Well, you know, if you're an audiophile, I guess you could. So, Benito, do you consider yourself an audiophile when you buy vinyl?
No. Yeah. No.
No.
But it's just I do understand audiophiles because I have listened to like really high-end systems.
You're a musician. You use synthesizers. We've talked to you about speakers before. You have good stuff.
Yeah. But like I just can't afford to be an audiophile. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely a limit to how much you can afford.
Well, now that you mention it, I'm going to show these. Denon just announced some earbuds that are like $150 more than the Apple AirPod Pros, right? These are kind of funky looking, but they're supposedly very high quality audio, and they use something called Masimo automatic ear checking. They play funny sounds into your ears, and then they determine what your sound curve should be. And so I'm going to give you a review, probably do this next week, of these new Denon Pearl. They call them Pearls. And they just announced them. And when I saw it, I thought, you know, I own every earbud known to man. So let me check out these. Pearl stands for personalized listening. Personalized earbuds. And I thought, well, if I'm going to spend a lot of money for this Masimo adaptive technology, I might as well get the pros. So I spent even more money on the high-end pros. These can also be used for your phone and so forth. So I got a Denon Pearl Pro, $350. That's more than $100 more than the AirPods Pro, right? And I will give you a review. It does spatial audio. It does have a good 8-hour battery life, plus 32 in the case. So that's much better than the Apple's. And then this personalized sound. I set them up last night when I got back from L.A., and I could say it's a little bit, they're a little tubby. What? They're for the sound obsessed. I thought it would be Benito stealing these. So we'll see. I don't know how sound. Maybe I have given them to Benito. You know what, Benito? You should set these up.
Sure.
Because you've got golden ears. I'm an old guy. I don't got the golden ears you young guys have. To me, and this is what the kids like now. It sounded a little what I call tubby, a little much on the bass. You do have a little slider that you can change that with. It gives you a bunch of tips. You can try different tips to make sure you're getting a good seal. The bass is superb, I have to say. There's a lot of it. But that's what the kids want now, right? They want a lot of bass. The Denon signature sound, they call this. An adaptive noise cancellation. Yeah, I agree. John says, if you are a sound obsessed, you get wired headphones. Get some ultimate ears. And I have those too. Those sound really good. That's what I'm wearing right now. They fit right in. You have to go to an audiologist and they pour silicone into your ear. Have you had that done, John? You have to turn your head like this. Oh, and they give you popsicle sticks because you have to do it with your mouth partially open for some reason because it changes your ear canal. So you got a popsicle stick in your mouth and you turn your ear like this and they pour silicone into your ear with a little string on it so they can pull it out. And then you have to sit there for about 5 minutes while it hardens. And then they pull it out with a great sucking sound. Let me tell you, out of your ear. And then they do the other one. But then what happens is they've got a mold, see, and you send it off to Ultimate Ears or whoever. These are from JH Audio, actually. And they will mold those so that when it goes in my ear, I get the great sucking sound both ways. AirPods Pro are $200. So these are $150 more. All right, we're going to let somebody with good ears review these. I like how they fit, and they look a little bit better in your ear than the AirPods. You don't have the little dongle hanging out. They don't look like they aren't white. These look like you've got gauges in your ears. They look like you're really a hipster. See, it's just it's a circle in there. All right. Let me think what we need to do here. I think we need to say hi to Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer, and our giz whiz, Dickie D.
Leo, how are you doing?
Everything everywhere all at once. Can I show this?
Sure. Yes, it came out Tuesday, and there's a tribute to Al Jaffe in there.
Oh, the king of the Folden who passed away at the age of, was he 100?
102.
Jiminy Christmas. You know, I'm glad that people are living longer. Oh, look at that. That's the Folden, and there's Al himself. Oh, the king of the Folden.
Yeah. Well, he retired early. He retired at 99.
Anybody who, like me, grew up reading Mad Magazine will remember these. The story of the Folden's kind of funny, though.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
You want to tell us?
Oh, yeah. So Playboy came out with the fold out.
The gatefold. The gatefold.
And Jaffe went to Bill Gaines, the founder and publisher of Mad, and said, Bill, I have an idea. We're a little magazine. We can't possibly afford to have a page fold out, but we could have you fold the page in. And he said, this is just a rough thing. It would be like this. And Bill said, oh, I'll do that. That's so funny.
That was more than 50 years ago, right?
My God. Yes. Yes. And then the editor said, Jaffe, where's the next fold in? And he said, no, it's like a one-time thing. And he goes, no, the mail is incredible.
We want it every month for the next 60 years, Al.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
There's a little tribute in there.
Yeah, there's a nice tribute. Oh, this is really sweet.
We each got to tell favorite stories about Al. One is in there. The one I didn't tell. Do we have time for this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This isn't a radio show, dude. We got all the time in the world.
That's right. So Bill Gaines and Al Jaffe are going to some event, and Bill rents a limo for them. And when they're leaving the event, Jaffe says to Bill, Bill, I'm in a new building. It's all businessmen in suits. And I just wear chinos and a T-shirt. And the doormen totally ignore me. If I pulled up in a limo, it might help. So could you actually take me to my house and drop me off? And Bill said, absolutely. So it gets better. So they pull up in front of the door and the doorman opens the thing for Jaffe. And Bill says, Mr. Jaffe, I hope everything was good, because if it wasn't, whatever is wrong, you tell us. And next time it'll be perfect. Aww. And thank you. And Jaffe said, from that day on, Bill, my problems were solved.
Yeah. You're a superstar, Mr. Al Jaffe. It's called the Al Lang Syne Department. Oh, Mad remembers Al Jaffe and all of these memories from Al and the people who worked with him, including you, Dick. There's a picture of you with Al
on his 95th birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
When he was inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records for the cartoonist with the longest streak of working.
I tell you what, Dick, when you when you get to 105, we will do this for you. Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good. Okay.
So what do you have for us this week?
So last year we had the Fomalator, the Fomalange. All right.
Yes.
So it's summer. Tuesday was summer. So I went hunting for stuff and I thought, wait a minute. I found the 132 hole bubble machine. Okay.
Okay. Do not bring this to Disney World or Disneyland. They sell, and everybody has them, these magic Mickey wands that have like 10 of those holes. And everywhere you go, it was in our food, it was everywhere. You've got 4-year-olds going like this, and there's bubbles. Okay. Everywhere. This one would not be allowed. This is too dangerous.
And I have a little 1-minute demo in my backyard. It is really great fun.
Oh, my gosh. Here's the quickie demo with the GizWiz video on YouTube. If you go to gizwiz.biz, you can get all this and see it all for yourself. So here you are. How many holes?
132. Okay. Now there are cheaper versions, but they only have like 65 holes, 75
or
holes.
That crappy one they sell at Disneyland with a 15.
Okay. And it's rechargeable. So it comes with a little rechargeable battery.
Wow.
Yeah. This is neat. Also, I said to Dennis, you know, I don't know if we can do the video today. I didn't order bubble juice. There were 14 bottles.
Because you're going to need it. With 132 bubbles, you're going to need it.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is you sort of...
I want this. This is so cool.
Get into... there I go right into here. This is the first time that... And it's a dip and... Oh, I hate it when they have these sealed things and no little tab on
it. The foil seals, they never do these days. All my drugs come that way, and it's so annoying. Yeah. All right, so you pour it into a pan.
Into a pan, then you dip it in the pan.
Oh, I get it.
And then they say charge the battery, but the
that's like ridiculous. Oh, they're everywhere. The bubbles, all the humanity. Oh my goodness.
And they do for some reason have color in them. I think kids are going to really get a big kick out of this.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's just refraction, isn't it? They're all.
Yes.
Yeah. The color. Yeah.
And you can do bubble snakes with it. So that, as I said, you can find them cheaper.
It's so funny to see Dick acting like a child. Oh, look at the bubble snake. Ooh.
What do you mean acting like a child?
This is amazing.
I kept saying, why are my neighbors out? I want to show my neighbors.
I'm going to get this because the bubble wands were driving Lisa crazy at Disneyland. I'm going to get this and bring it home.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great.
I'll get you bubbles in your tacos. Watch this. Holy cow.
Very funny. Uh-huh. And I have one other quick thing. Is this okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So summer's coming. I found a incredible fan. It has a gigantic hook on the bottom so that you can hook it to the tent pole or a tree branch. So it has a 3-speed fan. It has a misting action.
I like the mister. Yeah.
So you can have the fan going and then you can do misting. And then if it's at night, it has 9 LEDs with 3 brightnesses. And Leo, I paid about $22 for it. I don't know what the current price is. I have a link to it on my website. But it is, it's a 6,000 milliamp rechargeable battery.
Everything's rechargeable now. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really great.
Yeah.
So that's, if you're going camping or anything, this is a neat little thing to bring along.
So the Calabash Brothers, which is not their real name, but I'm guessing the Calabash Brothers bubble machine is $29.99, but Amazon prices go up and down. So just
down, yeah. And that one comes with the 14 bottles of stuff.
Well, that seems like enough.
It does, yeah.
Seems like plenty, I'm guessing. And then for hot summer weather, and it has been hot, hasn't it? $20 for the Frizz Call. I think that's not their real name either. Clip-on fan with misting. And a big old clip on that thing. So you could clip that.
And a hook if you want to hang it upside down in the tent.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you go camping a lot? Because you talk about camping all the time.
No, I do. I talk about it a lot because emails say that people said, oh, I took that thing camping. And
when's the last time you went camping?
Well, if you consider walking to the drive with a sandwich and sitting on a bench, I would say yesterday.
Dick is the ultimate New Yorker. Ain't nothing go camping.
No. Leo, I was at the gym about 2 weeks ago, and I overheard a guy said, what'd you do over the weekend? And the other guy said, you're not going to believe this. I went to the country. And the first guy said, why would you do that?
Oh, I meant I went to Alphabet City. I didn't mean like the country.
No, he said, my wife wanted to visit her folks. He said, and it gets worse. He said, what's worse? He said, we stayed overnight. And the first guy said, you are a devoted husband.
Yeah. Why would you ever leave Manhattan?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
He probably meant I went to the Bronx, but okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Dick D. Bartolo is at gizwiz.biz, gizwiz.biz. If you click the, Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guys button, you'll find both the Calabash Brothers bubble machine and the Drizz Call clamp-on fan. But you can also click the What the Heck Is It button. And your screen will go black. No. And you will get the May, June, What the Heck Is It game. Just a few days left to guess what this close-up photo of a gizmo or a gadget is. It's got a pistol grip. It's got it looks like a power mount. I don't know what the heck that could be.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you can make up something.
Yeah. So the good news is there's 6 Mad Magazines for the correct answer, but there's 12 for the funniest, silly answers, and you're playing for an autographed copy, as this is autographed by Dick DiBartolo of Mad Magazine. Is this the issue you're playing for?
Yes, that's the August issue.
Very nice. Yeah, this is great. I'm thrilled to have this. And well,
thank you.
I have a whole collection of old magazines. Every single one of them, the old Mads, is folded in the back, which means they're no longer pristine, but it's worth it for the folding. For the, I just love Del Jaffe. That was great. Thank you, Dick D. Bartolo.
Thank you.
So great to see you.
Okay, buddy. The same here.
Take care.
See you next month.
Have a great summer.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, summer began.
Oh, see you for Giz Fizz too. Yes. Okay, bye.
See you for Wednesdays, every Wednesday night. For our club members, we do Dick's show, The Giz Fizz, which is a great chance to see Dick in all his glory. They play a bunch of games. If you're not a club member, can I ask you to just take a look at twit.tv/clubtwit and see the benefits. It's $7 a month. You get all of our shows, this show, everything we do ad-free. Plus, that includes a bunch of shows we don't put out outside the club. And you know, I think we're going to see some interesting new stuff from both Jason Howell and Ant Pruitt in the club. So you get access to the Club Twit Discord. You get all sorts of additional stuff for $7 a month. And the reason we do this, it really helps us out. These are tough times for podcasts. You see all the podcast networks laying people off, Spotify, even NPR laid off, I think, 10% of their staff, the podcast team, because they weren't making money in podcasts. We don't want to go away. We want to stay here. I hate canceling shows. Please, twit.tv/clubtwit. We thank you for your support, Club Twit members. Now, here's something Club Twit members won't see. An ad for Fast Mail. I am such a fan. Actually, I know anybody who's watched our shows over the years has heard me plug Fast Mail for free. It's my email service. And I've said this many, many times. I firmly believe it. If email is important to you, you need to pay for it, because if you're using free email, you're not the customer, you're the product. If you care about privacy, if you care about support, if you care about a quality service, you need Fastmail. As little as $3 a month, Fastmail is the best. You can use your existing email client. I do. I use Apple Mail, MailMate. I use Outlook Mail with it. But you can also use their web interface and or iPhone app or Android app. By the way, the apps are the best. I no longer use the Apple apps or the Android apps on my phones. I use Fastmail's app. It's fantastic. The web version, same thing. It has quick settings, which makes it easy to change your theme, switch between light and dark mode, change your text size without leaving the Fastmail screen. That's a new feature. One of the things Fastmail does that's very cool is it works with your password manager. If you're using 1Password and Bitwarden, our sponsor, you can create a fake email address along with the password, which adds to the security. And Fastmail will go, and put it in your regular inbox when mail comes to that address. It is a fantastic additional security feature. Fastmail's been a leader in email for 20 years, and privacy is job one. They believe in working for customers. You're not products at Fastmail. You are customers to be cared for. No advertisements, no tracking. At Fastmail, your data stays yours. Better features, $3 a month, better spam filters, superior productivity tools. You can have scheduled sends, snooze, folders, labels. Yeah, you can have folders and labels. Search bar. You get to keep track of all the important details in your life with Fastmail's powerful sidebar. I use Fastmail also for my calendar and contacts instead of Google. I don't give Google my information anymore. It all goes to Fastmail, where it's private and secure. Fastmail is the email service for you. Reclaim your privacy. Boost productivity with Fastmail. You could try it free for 30 days when you go to fastmail.com/twit. I could go on and on about Fastmail. I won't. I'll spare you. But there's so many great features. I use all of them. I've been a customer for more than a decade. Fastmail.com/twit. It's the only email for you. Let's go back to the phones. Oh, what do you want me to do? Okay. You want to do Scott? I'm going to press the button. Scott is on the phone. 888-724-2884. Hi, Scott.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you. Great. Yeah, I forgot to mention, press star 6 to unmute. I hear you. Great.
I did. Okay, well, this is your old friend, Inspector Deschapeau.
My hat man.
Yes, sir. How you doing, young man?
I'm doing great. I told Lisa when we were at Disneyland, we got to buy a hat. She said, you don't need any more hats.
Well, yeah, you and me both, buddy. You know, there's not enough room in my closet for these bags of hats. You know, so.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't, you know, my head size is not the same as my son's or my daughter's. So I don't know what's going to happen to the hats. We'll have a big hat auction at the end.
Yeah, I have a bunch of large sizes. Someday we'll have to get together and see what we can do.
How big is your hat head? What's your hat size?
I'm a 7.5.
Yeah, me too.
You're a 5.8.
Well, I used to be 7.375. Does your head get bigger as you get older?
I don't know.
I think it does because I used to be 7.375 and now I'm 7.5. But you have.
Well, I'm 70.
You have that thing.
I turned 70.
Oh.
Good.
Happy New Year.
Well, I turned 70. I'm 6'5". I'm still waiting to shrink. And it ain't happening.
You're supposed to get shorter. You know? That's right. Yeah.
No.
Well, I bet your ears. Bet your ears are getting a little longer and hairier, though.
You know, hair happens when you get old.
I'm just saying.
It happens in all sorts of places.
Something to prepare the youngs for. So what can I do for you, exactly. Mr. Inspector Chapeau?
Well, I wanted to tell you something you probably knew. I didn't. I think a lot of people don't. I recently upgraded to the Pixel 7a. I had trepidations about the no headphone jack, but, you know, had to pull the trigger, you know, and it's a great phone and everything. But I was at a concert that had this mixed hollow thing going where they broadcast the sound from the soundboard onto this app. And you can listen to the sound from the soundboard through your headphones. And what makes it great is that they use the microphone in your phone to adjust the latency to the actual sound off the stage.
Oh, that's so smart. So you don't have this echoey thing going on.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
that's
it works
brilliant.
Great with wired headphones. So, of course, you know, I brought my Bluetooth headphones, and it just wasn't working. Didn't work. But they had a stand set up, so I went and talked to the guy from Mix Hollow, and we're talking about it. And I said, well, I'm going to have to use my old phone. Am I going to have to switch SIM cards? Because I know that's going to confuse somebody or something somewhere. And he's going, well, yeah, you do have blah, 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 blah. And then he reaches over to his table, and he hands me this little white generic-looking adapter, USB-C to headphone. Look at this. What is this? Yeah, you go take it. So I take it home because I didn't have any wired headphones. I plug it into my phone and this app pops up. This is Cam. Oh no! What did I do? Well, it's too late now. You know, I'll just plug my headphones.
Everybody's
my
got an app.
And boom! Boom! Works like a charm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Phones nowadays, almost all phones lack headphone jacks. And most of the time, I think what they want you to do is what Apple wants you to do, which is use these Bluetooth earbuds. But you found a perfect example of a place where that does not work because the Bluetooth adds latency. That's one of the reasons they don't want you to use Bluetooth. It's going to have a little, you're going to have echo no matter what they do. So it used to be these phones would come with either a dongle. Apple has a Lightning to headphone jack dongle. Now you have to buy them. Or, and I remember this, I can't remember which phone it was. One of my phones came with USB-C headphones. In fact, it's so funny that you mentioned this because these are on my dresser. I almost brought them in today to show them because it's an interesting artifact. They came with Audio-Technica. These are quite good in-ear wired headphones with a Type-C connector. Almost, I don't think there's any phone that lacks a headphone port that doesn't work with Type-C headphones. So you could buy these, they're $48, and just plug them in. You don't even need a special app. The phone itself, the Android operating system will say, oh, yeah. And we're going to put the audio through there, and it's wired. So that's just like having a pair of wired headphones.
Get a load of this. This is the kicker. So now I've got this little white dongle adapter that works great. So now, but it looks generic. So I'm looking it up. I'm Googling it and all. And Oh, here it is. Guess who sells this?
Who?
Google. Google sells it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Do they advertise it?
No. Yeah, and by the way, notice Apple does not sell wired headphones anymore, but they do sell this. This is the USB-C to headphone jack adapter. Why do they sell a USB-C? Oh, because some of their devices have USB-C, like the iPad. So this would be for an iPad. So notice they'll sell the connectors.
I think their new phone is going to be C.
And eventually this will be on all phones. Yeah, everything will be USB-C. Thank you, EU. Because Lightning, it was good in its day, but we don't need a variety of standards anymore. So, yeah.
So what's that you're holding up? Which one is
this
that?
This is Apple's USB-C to headphone jack connector. Now, this is for an iPhone.
Exactly like.
Yeah, it looks just like
looks
the one
exactly
you got.
Well, that looks exactly like what I got.
Yeah. And there are ones for Android. This might well work with Android. I don't know. I don't know if Apple does something special. Probably they do.
Well, what happens is it loads this this app called Ascam, which I also use. I bought a digital microscope, and it used that also. I think that's what it was for. Wow. I've seen it before. So it's
somebody's telling me that Apple still sells wired headphones, just like Google. It's on the back pages, right? They would much prefer you spend $200 on their wireless AirPod Pro, but they still sell them. And I think eventually you're going to see everybody will offer these. I still think wired's better. I understand why they do it in the concert, because they want to get zero latency. Otherwise, you'd hear through the headphones the real music coming at you, and then a quarter of a second later, the music coming through your headphones would be awful. It would be echoey. So they've got to get that latency down to almost nothing. And that's why they do that thing. That trick, it's a clever trick with the microphone.
Real fast, speaking of concerts, now that your schedule is loosened up, are you going to get to go to the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival for once?
Oh, that would be fun. You go to that every year, don't you?
Well, it's been around 15, 20 years or something. I've been every year, every show.
Holy cow.
Every day of every. Yeah. Well, I live like 10 blocks away. So, you know, it was easy.
Yeah.
And I have nothing better to do.
That's in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco.
Exactly. What used to be the Speedway Meadows is now the Hellman Holler, because he's the guy that paid for it for years.
That's a good name, the Holler.
Passed it on to his kids.
The Holler. So it's coming up September. Holler. Now, I could go to Friday and Saturday. Nope. Obviously, I'm here on Sunday. So.
Yeah, it's always the first weekend of October.
Right. Which this, because and, of when October is, October 1st is Sunday. So they're going to do September 29th through October 1st this year. Just a little word of warning. And, yeah.
And a funny thing, the weather's always perfect.
Yeah, that's the best. That's summer in San Francisco. It's fall.
Exactly.
Don't go to Golden Gate Park expecting anything but clouds this time of year.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Fall is our summer. Summer's our winter.
Pleasure talking to you, Scott. I really appreciate it. Glad you used the phone to show people the way. And thank you for that tip.
I'm Mr. Low Tech, so, you know.
I wish, you know, we did.
Hope for pixels, guys.
John Slonina dragged us to a Umphrey's McGee concert where they rent wireless audio or Sennheiser headphone receivers, and you plug your headphones into it, and so you're hearing it from the board, and it is absolutely the best way to hear music. From now on, I wish every concert would do this. I'm glad to hear that there are other concerts doing this. Maybe they'll do it Hardly Strictly, too. That would be really, really great.
Well, the Mix Hollow thing is not free to these concerts. They have to pay for it, you know, whatever. But Stern Grove does it.
I love Stern Grove. Oh, that's good to know. All right.
Yeah. They've got Lyle Lovett coming up.
Oh, I love Lyle Lovett.
Is on his farewell tour, and then I forget who finishes it up.
Oh, I'm going to have to go. That sounds great.
Well, good luck. You got to get your tickets 1 month before the show at 2:00, and you better be there and have that phone in you. Oh yeah, the Indigo Girls sold out immediately.
Oh,
so even though it's free, they're controlling the crowd.
What hat do you wear to concerts?
High security.
You don't wear a high hat to concerts. You got to wear a low hat to concerts.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of crazy because people sit on a hillside, and I mean, there's.
Do you wear a hat? I mean, it is outside, so you must wear a hat.
There's plenty of shade around, so I Yeah, actually, I do bring my worst hat. I made the mistake of bringing a good hat once, and at the complete end of Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, I set it on my bicycle because there was one show left, and of course, somebody stole it. So I bring my crummiest
hat. Who would steal a hat? What kind of low-life scum would steal a hat? Come on,
really,
man.
San Francisco? Theft in San Francisco? Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, great to talk to you.
Buddy.
Take care, Scott. All right, we will. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, if you want to call 888, I like the phone calls, 888-724-2884. It's kind of like the good old days. Back when, I'm going to take another call here. Let's see. Somebody's got their hand raised. I don't see a name. I'll tell you what, since your hand is raised. Oh, he hung up. Suhail's hand is raised. Hi, Suhail. I'm going to press. Did I do it correctly? I don't know. Suhail, join us in the Stargate. Disconnected. I think I should do an email. When in doubt, we have so many of them. John, did you have to translate this one? From Kevin in KWI. Oh, no, that's his initials, I think. Making a video of life memories for a senior family member. I've been tasked with helping an 83-year-old uncle. For years, he's written humorous or inspirational stories and emailed them out to family and friends. The stories are, I think this is nice, always factual from his life. The family wants him to build a video book of him telling these stories in his own voice and video. He doesn't know where to start, and I'm struggling to think of a way to make it easier for him to do any of it. Filming, editing, adding a caption, etc. So the question is, he's 83 years old. Does he have a smartphone? Because that's the way anybody who has a smartphone should do it these days. Makes it so, so easy. Use the camera on the smartphone. He could do it in a selfie mode is fine. So that way he can see himself, right, which is nice. It's got a decent enough microphone. He doesn't even have to use a special microphone. Have it not quite arm's length, so you want it to, like I am, two-thirds of the pictures filled, you know, two-thirds of you in the, I don't know how to describe this, like this. Chest up. And he should project a little bit. If his voice is a little weak, which it might be at that age, you might want to have an additional microphone. But I think, you know, best thing, just have him move it a little closer. And he should talk to the phone, talk to the camera. This might be a little hard. I'm used to that, right? But he might have it a little trouble. But once he gets used to it, pretend, you know, his grandson is sitting on the other side of the camera. Talk to the camera and tell the stories and then save them. Now, they're going to be in his photo library, right? Which means it's very easy for him to click that video, email it out. I would not suggest you make him edit it. I would have him email it out or share it to you. Email's going to be better because I think you'll be able to attach, if it's not too long, if they're hour long, that's going to be tricky. If they're hour long, then what he's going to have to do is put it on iCloud and send you a link. I think you can figure that out. If you want to edit it, you go ahead and do it. In fact, that's probably the best thing to do is get him just to give you the raw videos, the 83-year-old videos, you know, his stories. Just as they are, just have him tell his story. He doesn't have to end it in any special way. Just press record, press stop, and send it to you somehow, either via email. He could actually text it to you if it's pretty short. There are limits because of the size of video. If it's too big for either email or texting, then he can share it via iCloud Photos. If he's on Android, Google Photos. So whichever Photos app he has, share it to you as a link. Then you'll get the full quality video. You can download it. Get a editing program. If you're on iOS, iMovies, which iMovie comes with all iPhones, all iPads, all Macs, is perfect for this. Just import each of those videos in. You can trim them if you need to. You can do titles if you want. Probably a good idea. You can do dissolves from one to the other. You can add music even if you want, and then you can distribute it to the other family members. I think that's a really great way to do this. He says, I only edit video when I have to, and I struggle my own way through on a MacBook Pro. He shouldn't do it. You should do it. And do it in iMovie. It's not hard. It's not hard. Between you guys and the kids in the back of the class chat room, hello, kids. I sincerely hope you'll have some suggestions for Camera Microphone Tech Challenge Senior. Now, if he doesn't have a smartphone, that gets a little bit more complicated. I still think a smartphone is the best way to go. So maybe you buy a used, cheap, old iPhone and activate it and send it to him. I still think that's the best way to go. Even, you know, that's going to be cheaper than any other camera microphone setup. I guess you could go out and get a camcorder. You'd have to set it on a stack of books or on a tripod, turn it on. It gets more and more complicated, right? The smartphone makes this so easy. I think this is the way to do it, frankly. Let's see. Oh, look at all the calls. All of a sudden, you heard I had time. Tell you what, hang on. I will get to your call in just a second. As soon as I tell you about our sponsor, perhaps you've seen the banner on the screen or above my head, ACI Learning, our studio sponsors. Thanks to ACI Learning, the days of boring, archaic training methods are finally over. Lack of meaningful impact shows up as low engagement. And if you're going to get some training for yourself or your team, low engagement is the worst, right? That means poor performance. You want to be entertained while you train. You want to have it be engaging and fun, and you want the information to be current, accurate, and up to date, right? I guess current and up to date is the same thing. Current and accurate. And that's what you get with ACI Learning. And if you're doing an IT team, it's even more important because you want your team to say, hey, thanks, boss. These videos are great. We are really learning something. You want them to be engaged. Well, let me tell you, ACI Learning has the best engagement rate around. The industry standard completion rate on their videos is only about 30%. So that means people stop watching the video before the end 70% of the time. Let me tell you, ACI Learning blows the competition out of the water, 80% completion rate, because they're engaging. This is the format IT pros want. And what a great time to be in IT because of the talent shortage. If you're trying to get into IT or if you've got an IT team, you want to keep them happy. 94% of CIOs and CISOs agree attracting, retaining talent is increasingly critical to their role. ACI Learning gives you a benefit you can give your team that helps you retain them and helps them thrive and learn and get better at securing your business, at keeping things running. An IT pro training at ACI Learning has over 7,000 hours of content available. New content's added every day because they've got studios running Monday through Friday all day, keeping that content up to date. They have a great portal, a learning pro portal for you to track and manage your team's results, to manage seats, to assign and unassign team members. You can customize the courses, and their visual reports make it easy to justify the spend. To show the boss, say, look, we're getting something out of it. ACI Learning's private boot camp will train your team alongside the most passionate and best subject matter experts certified in the latest version of each certification. ACI Learning trains thousands of aspiring tech and cyber professionals annually, including providing scholarships to individuals from diverse backgrounds and those transitioning out of military service into civilian careers. They've got some really great offers there for you. Join the always-on tech training solution. In a rapidly changing world of technology, ACI Learning is in the studio every day to record and share relevant content to impact your business. Be bold, train smart with ACI Learning's premium training options across audit, IT, and cybersecurity readiness. go.acilearning.com/twit for teams from 2 to 1,000. Volume discounts start at 5 seats. Fill out the form at go.acilearning.com/twit for more information on a free 2-week training trial for your team. go.acilearning.com/twit. All right, now we're going to try Suhail. Let me press the button, see if we can get you in here. Call.twit.tv for the Zoom, 888-724-2884 for the phone, and of course, email atg@twit.tv. Suhail, come on down.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know if you remember me, but I was on the Screensavers reboot show.
I remember.
With a Wi-Fi question.
Yes.
And I'm back with another networking question.
Well, every 10 years, you should come visit us. How about that?
Absolutely. So this one kind of stumped me because I'm pretty good with technology and I'm an engineer myself. But what happened here is I have an Eero mesh Wi-Fi system.
Yep.
And, that's connected to my Comcast modem. And then I have the main Eero Wi-Fi router connected to a switch, which is then connected to a desktop PC. And for some reason, and I can't figure out why, my wired internet speed throughput is slower than Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
On the desktop.
So, why is the switch there? So you have... The main based unit has how many? I can't remember. Has how many Ethernet ports? Two or
three? It just has two Ethernet ports.
So
one goes to the modem. Yeah.
So you need the switch because you're connecting more than one thing via that.
That is correct.
Ethernet. How many devices are on that switch?
I have a desktop and maybe a PS4, maybe another device, okay. But they're all not working at the same time though.
Have you tried connecting the desktop switch, directly to that port on the Eero? And
that's
see,
the only thing that I have to try now.
I would just to see if the switch is getting in the way.
Right.
Most switches these days are managed, which means they sometimes do some shaping. So
right.
the first test is, let's just see what kind of throughput I get if I'm plugged directly into the Eero base unit. If
right.
that's still low, there may be a reason for it. Eero is very aggressive in quality of service, QoS shaping. So,
right.
In fact, you'll see this in their ads and everything. It says, you know, we take the bandwidth and we give it to whoever needs it most. So
right.
they are looking and they're saying, well, there's a streaming device. We're going to give it priority because, you know, when you're watching a streaming movie, packet loss ruins it, right? But if you're just doing email, a slow to arrive packet, not the end of the world. And
right.
so it may be doing some bandwidth shaping. Saying, well, I see the problem is the switch is might be, I don't know what the switch is doing. If it's completely passive, probably not impacting this, that the Eero can
right.
still see that's a computer, that's a PlayStation 4,
right,
and do the proper shaping. So I would first connect it to the Eero, see if it's
okay.
faster. If it is, then
right.
the switch is suspect.
Yep.
Or the Eero can't see and is just saying, well, I don't know what this switch is, but I know it's sucking a lot of bandwidth, so we're going to slow you down, buddy.
So the app does show the individual devices that are on the switch, so
yeah.
I'm able to see all of that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
And I've also verified that the link speeds are okay so that it's not an issue with the cable, right? Like I'm getting gigabit from the PC to the switch and then gigabit from...
Okay.
That's reported by Eero as well.
Yeah, you're smart because obviously if you have a lower quality cable on one of these devices,
yep.
it's not going to get the full throughput. But you've
right,
checked
right.
it's high quality cable, right. and, you know, Cat 5 or 6.
Yeah,
or 6E.
Short of bending down and like grabbing the cables and changing stuff, I've kind of tried everything.
Nobody right? wants to do that.
Yes.
Although, again, that can also yeah. be a problem, right? The cables.
Right.
I remember, you know, Steve Gibson, who is the ultimate nerd, for the longest time
right.
we were having packet loss on Security Now. And I said, Steve, I think it's coming from you. No, I've checked. Everything's fine. Turned out it was a bad cable.
It's possible. Yeah.
You know, that's the last thing.
Right.
he's thinking all these high level issues.
Yeah.
And it was just a physical.
Leo,
issue.
It's not even like a 10 or 20% loss. It's like three times faster.
That's
if I
terrible.
Go Wi-Fi. That is weird.
Wi-Fi it, should and, always you know, be less than wired. Always. In my
Always,
opinion.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly, right? That's what I thought too, because that's, you know, our traditional wisdom. And for the first time, I was troubleshooting something and I was like, okay, let me just go through Wi-Fi. And I'm like, I go to fast.com and it's showing me 260 megabytes per second, which I've never seen on my desktop. It's only like 80 or so that I get when it's wired, which is just weird. I'll try with a couple of other wired devices. I'll try a wired laptop directly to the Eero.
That's the best thing to do, just
yeah,
to
yeah.
see. And then if not, a call to Eero, the texts there are really good. and explain the situation. They know better than I do or you what Eero's doing. They're not completely transparent about what kind of things they're doing with bandwidth shaping. They are very, I do know they're aggressive with that. And that's, you know, for most people, that's what you want because they're not you. Yeah. They're not sophisticated. They just want it to work. Try something besides fast as well, because remember, fast is Netflix's bandwidth test. And really, it's only telling you how fast your connection is to Netflix servers. And it may well be Eero says, oh, he's connected to Netflix. Well, no, that.
Well, actually, I did verify on another service, Steam.
Okay.
Like I was getting 10 megabytes a second download speed to Steam, which then turned to 26 over Wi-Fi, which is again, and you know, for Steam, these are large games, right? 30 gigabytes, 60 gigabytes. It cut my download times in like, you know, one third. And it was, I was angry because I was, you know, my wired connection was going for over 2 years like this. And I was like, I didn't.
No, you should get better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I am on Wi-Fi connected to, I believe, what do you know, John, what service we use for this Wi-Fi? Is this Sonic or is this? Let me see who the which Wi-Fi is it? Comcast. So I'm on Twit on Air. That's Comcast. So that's gigabit.
Yeah.
So I'm getting 540 megabits Wi-Fi.
Oh wow. Okay.
So that's pretty. That's you should be getting. That's about right. By the way, I usually kind of rule of thumb about half the wired nominal wired speed for Wi-Fi because of the overhead. So that's pretty good. You should not be getting, what do you said, 260 kilobits?
No, 260 megabytes over Wi-Fi. Megabits, I don't have a gigabit. Yeah, megabits. Okay. I don't have a gigabit connection to Comcast. But over wired, I only get 80 to 90. So there
I mean, 80 to 90 is not awful. It's enough to do anything you want to do.
That's right.
But I understand you say, but I'm paying for gigabit. Why am I only getting 80 or 90?
And it's mostly things like Steam downloads, right? Like those game files are huge, 16 megabytes.
So a couple of things to look at. Make sure the Switch has faster ports. That Switch may have 100 megabit ports, which is very common. So that would be my first guess. Make sure your cable is faster, not Cat 5 to Cat 6, because Cat 5 is also 100 megabit.
Yep.
So I think when you're saying 80, that sounds like it's a 100 megabit connection. So look at that
the link
switch.
Speed is okay, though. Windows verifies a gigabit link speed. So, but, you know, it could be false advertising, right? Yeah.
Link speed is different than throughput. Yeah. So,
but for others listening in, if you're experiencing the same issues, you might want to check. You might get surprised with how fast the Wi-Fi is.
But then again, if it's fast enough. I mean, like I said, 80 or 90, there's nothing you can't do except big downloads. You'd maybe like to see hundreds.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? The Steam downloads, like a Call of Duty update is 30 gigs.
Yeah.
It's much faster over Wi-Fi for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Weird, okay.
Right? So
that's legit.
So I'll do those troubleshooting steps, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of in line with what I wanted to do. I was just kind of lazy to.
Well, it's good to know a couple of things. Make sure you have Cat 6 cable because that's gigabit, not Cat 5. Make sure your Switch can handle gigabit.
Right.
You know, a lot of switches are 100 megabit. That was the standard for a long time.
Yeah.
So connecting using a Cat 6 cable directly into the Eero will tell you if it's Eero or something you're doing. And then you can decide which way you want to go after that.
Yeah. And then maybe a call or an email to Eero support. Yep.
Yeah. Eero, I have to say Eero support hasn't been lately, but when I had an Eero, they were remarkable. I thought they were very, very helpful. Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully it's not an upsell to Eero Plus because I think that's how you kind of get.
Well, they may be now. See, they're owned by Amazon now. This was pre-Amazon. I don't know what they are these days, but Micah loves them. So I think they're probably still.
Yeah. I mean, I have no other issues with them. Yeah, it's just this.
They are aggressive. They're aggressive in bandwidth shaping.
Okay.
Thank you, Suhail. Okay. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Let's say hi to Richard on the line from, he says, Westchester, New York. I just have rebooted the entire thing. Hello, Richard. Richard, you're muted on your side, I'm told. Unmute yourself. Allow your voice to be heard.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're good now. I hear you now. Hey, yes, Richard.
Thank you, sir. I'm in the gym, so I apologize. I will stop cycling in honor of having you on the phone.
Never apologize for being in the gym. The gym should apologize to you.
So, long time listener, back to screensaver. I'm the first guy who called you up that the Apple Watch saved his life.
Oh, and I remember. Look at you working out, staying healthy. Good for you.
I'm trying. New York is a steam bath right now, yeah. So this is the best choice. But I'm going to give you two avenues of approach if you want to get philosophical. We are lucky enough to have the ability to have monitors, Apple Watches, etc. There is much of the population that is not as fortunate as us, and we are perhaps on a path to live a little bit longer because of the devices we have.
Exactly.
And our technical abilities to be comfortable with.
Exactly. Them. Yeah, I agree with you. There is a gulf. But, you know, there always has been between the haves and have-nots when it comes to health outcomes, hasn't there? And that is unfortunate. I think one of the failings, if you want to get political in this country, is the lack of a good national healthcare plan, because there are a lot of people who can't afford to go to the doctor, let alone afford an Apple Watch to let them know. What was the was it AFib? I've forgotten the condition that.
Yes, it was AFib. And 18 hours after I got to the hospital, the doctor had said that if this round of meds don't work, we're going to go with the paddle. And
wow.
I just looked at him and said, that can't be fun.
Holy cow. Holy
yeah, so,
cow.
Without this, I don't know where I would be. I've become.
You're right. We're very fortunate. Let's not forget how fortunate we are. Incidentally, if you haven't spent enough money on your Apple Watch, Apple will be updating, according to Mark Gurman, the Apple Watches, including the Ultra, this fall, just in case you wanted to know.
Well, I have told my wife already that I probably will get every upgrade.
If I were in your shoes and that watch saved your life, that's a lot cheaper than having a heart attack, I got to tell you right now.
Or worse, but we are very fortunate. At this point in my life, the apple of my eye is a granddaughter, 20 Aww. Months old. So we take a lot of pictures.
Oh, I bet.
You can talk for a while about DAM, digital asset management.
Yes.
Because that's the problem. My family at 20 months probably has to the tune of 10,000 pictures already.
Oh, get ready. You know,
Do you recommend the folders within Apple? Obviously, once again, we're all sharing stuff. How do you deal with 10,000?
Yeah, well, I have closer to 60,000. And my kids were born before digital photography was widespread in the early 90s. So I only really started taking photos of them digitally in the early 2000s. So there was almost 10 years in which I have very few photos of them, and it breaks my heart. I have prints. That's about it. But once digital came out, you're right. The number of photos you take explodes. We were just, as I mentioned at Disneyland, went to a character breakfast and Mickey came over, right? And I looked and I took 40 shots. You would never do that with a camera, right? You take one picture, hope it came out because you had to get it developed and it was expensive. Now the sky's the limit because it's digital and you can take as many as you want. So these do explode. I think that both Apple and Google are really doing their best to make this mindless because they know that if it's too complicated, most people are not going to back up. They're not going to really understand. So both Apple and Google strongly encourage you to use their systems automatically backing up from the smartphone. I presume most of these pictures you're taking are on the smartphone.
The whole family.
Yeah.
All Apple.
Yeah.
And we all do both Google backup and Apple backup. So I'm totally with you. Yeah. And I know that we've got to get better at searches.
Yeah, so that's what the, so it's really interesting to see these companies, which really, I think they understand their customers pretty well, and they understand that customers are not going to, you know, Google bought a, there was a wonderful photography program a lot of my listeners, you know, 10 years ago used. I can't even remember. It was
Picasso.
Picasso.
Yeah, I set it up for my clients. I remember IT for 35 years.
There you go. It was wonderful. We recommended it, and then they bought them, and they basically put it out of its misery. But Picasso required a lot of effort, right? You would tag photos. You would put them in albums. There was a huge amount of organizational structure that Picasso allowed, and people liked that. The problem is it's very time-consuming. Most people don't do it. What Google now says is they bought Picasa mostly, I think, for the tools, less for the software. Because what they now say is, don't organize anything. In fact, this is the trend across computing in general. Don't do folders. Don't do tags. Let our search technology solve this problem. And Apple, to some degree, does the same thing, where you can type into Apple Photos, I want to see all the pictures that I took in New York City in 1975. I wish we had those pictures still. And it would then narrow it down to that. Google Photos does the same thing. And this is the trend in computing in general, because normal people don't want to spend a lot of time dragging with their mouse, dragging stuff around, typing in tags. They just want to, they don't want to think about it. They just want to take the picture. And so now if I search for Disney, I tried this in my Apple Photos, I will find every visit to Disney over the last 10 years and all the pictures associated with it. Same thing with Google. In fact, Google's a little bit better with Google Photos. What I would suggest everybody in your family do is have more than one solution so that if something goes wrong, you've got a backup. So if you're not an iPhone, I would absolutely put Google Photos on your iPhone, periodically open it and let it sync. So now you have all of your photos in both Google's cloud and Apple's cloud. If you're on an Android device, if you're an Amazon Prime member, actually this works on both, Amazon Prime offers unlimited photo backup. It's good to have more than one system. What if you lose your Apple account? You can't remember the password or your Google account. It's good to have a backup of that. That would be the most important thing I would say at this point. And I think Apple and Google are both doing a really good job of making it easy to find what you want. And it's getting, by the way, better and better because they're using AI to analyze these photos. So there, you know, I can search my Google Photos for pictures of Paris in the snow and find pictures from 12 years ago when we were in Paris during the winter. That's really a nice feature. And now I don't have to categorize. I don't have to do folders, that kind of stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can you do us all one big favor and ask Micah to get Apple people to bring back Dark Sky?
Bring back what?
Can't get comfortable. Dark Sky, the weather app.
Oh, Dark Sky. Yeah, Apple bought it. And they shut down the Dark Sky server, and they've supposedly incorporated Dark Sky into Apple Weather. I think for people like us who loved Dark Sky, it's not a full incorporation, is it?
I miss it every day.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple other choices. One of our listeners sent me a strong recommendation. Was it Evan? I can't remember. For Forca, F-O-R-E-C-A. It's forecast without the S-T. It's interesting what Dark Sky did. Dark Sky is a non-traditional weather app that instead of doing what the National Weather Service does, which is look at trends and say, well, it's going to be rainy tomorrow with a 30% chance of rain and blah, they do hyper-local weather. They use information from local weather station reporting, a lot of amateurs, people like you and me who have weather stations, that kind of thing. And their entire goal was, instead of doing long-range forecasting, was to say it's going to rain in 20 minutes. And that was a completely new slant on weather that the National Weather Service never supported, never wants to support. Maybe they will in time. But for those of us who got used to getting those alerts from Dark Sky, you know, bring an umbrella because it's going to rain this afternoon, or rain will be here in 20 minutes, we kind of miss those great features. Apple's incorporated some of them.
I have a quick dark sky story. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm a New Yorker.
Please. I'll keep talking until you interrupt. So please.
That's great. Bring it on. My wife and I are in Fire Island, our first trip, and there's no vehicle allowed on the island, and we have reservations for dinner. I looked down at my watch, and Dark Sky also had a great watch app.
Yes.
And I said, we leave in 2 minutes. We had to walk about a mile and a half to the restaurant. As soon as we get there, the skies opened up. He looks at me. I said, I'll let you know when we're leaving. We get to dessert. I say, take your time with dessert. We're out of here in 17 minutes.
Brilliant. You see? See how valuable that is?
That was Dark Sky.
Yeah, U.S. Weather Service doesn't want to get in that business. But fortunately, Dark Sky showed the way, and there are a lot of apps that do this. Carrot Weather now does that. That's what I use Carrot for, is Carrot will say it's going to rain in 15 minutes. Now, Carrot, some people don't like it because it's snarky, has a slider that you can make it a normal weather app or a really mean weather app. You get to choose. You can also now choose its politics. Do they want... Are you far left or far right? Which do you want? And so I would just turn off all of those features, make it a normal weather app. Carrot Weather is actually as good, I think, as Dark Sky with a lot of the same information. Forca, F-O-R-C-A, is also very good. I use both. Neither are free, unfortunately. There is nothing as good as Dark Sky, sad to say, and Apple killed it. I'm going to point you to one other thing. I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. This is... perhaps more than anybody in your family will ever want to do, but maybe one person, maybe you in your family can be the archivist. And this is my friend Peter Krogh's article on dpbestflow.org, the American Society of Media Photographers, has an article on Peter's 3-2-1 backup. And it is, and you've heard me mention this many, many times, under best practices, go to backup. It is exactly, you know, the kind of information a professional photographer who cannot afford to lose a single image would need to know for the absolute best practices for backup. No normal human is going to do this, but since you're the geek in the family, maybe you'll be the one who is the archivist. But there probably needs to be one person who's an archivist who follows the 3-2-1 rules, who's read these articles, because this is really the deep deets on what backup needs to be if you cannot afford to lose even one image. I personally think Apple and Google are doing a very good job making it kind of brainless to back up everything in a way that's going to be useful. A pleasure talking to you. I'm glad you're still with us. It's the watch, baby.
It's the watch, and I'm going back to the cycle once we get off the phone.
Back to cycling. I'm sad because my Peloton was in the recall, and they say, don't ride your Peloton because apparently the seats break and some small number of people have injured themselves. And so now I can't get on my bike and I'm waiting for the repair, but I've got the rower. So I'm doing the rowing. Hey, let's stay fit. Okay. Let's stay here.
We need to keep moving.
Need to keep moving for that 20-month-old granddaughter. I'm so happy for you. That's great. Have a great day.
Thank you for being a pillar of my IT career. I mean that.
Yeah. You know what happens to pillars, right? They turn to salt.
Well, Microsoft pushed me out. I'll get off the line, but I just got really frustrated with explaining to lawyers why their machines would go dead after updates.
Yeah.
I had to get that in, but I'll let you go.
Have a great one. Take care. Stay healthy. Get back on that bicycle.
Thank you.
You got miles to go. I actually bought my mom, 90-year-old mom, an Apple Watch simply for the fall detection, right? So, you know, that you remember those ads where I've fallen and I can't get up and the medical alert and they had the button and all that stuff. And to many, I don't know if it's as good. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I think at the very least, I'm glad she has that Apple Watch on for fall detection. She loves it. It came. I'm so surprised. I didn't expect this. Unfortunately, it came while I was gone. So let me get up and we're going to go on over to Radio Corner and I'm going to show you something I just got brand new from Google. So there are two devices in front of me. One of them is $229 from Google. That's the Nest Hub Max. One of them is $500 from Google. It's the Pixel tablet. They're both in a slideshow. Can you tell the difference between the two? Or can you tell which is which? They're both in. One of these is less than the other. This is the $500. And I tell you how you can tell. Just by taking it off the stand, this is the new Pixel tablet. This is an actually full Android tablet. If you look at it, it's got a camera on the back, just like a regular tablet would. And it has fingerprint recognition actually right on the top here. So I'm going to press that. You actually don't even have to press it. It's got all the Google services, all the Google apps. Let me do this without too much glare. This is a full Android tablet with the problems that all Android tablets have, which is that many, many Google apps are not designed for the tablet. But if you're looking for an Android tablet and you don't mind spending $500, this is absolutely the class of the Android tablets, the Google Pixel. And this has the best single feature. Go back to my two shot, because it comes with, at least for now, it comes with this thing, which is an external speaker, and it has, if you notice, it has the smart pogo pins on it and a little magnet, and it, whoom, did you hear that? It attaches, and now it's just like a photo frame. So I think this is a really clever idea. In fact, when I saw Google demo this at Google I.O., I immediately ordered it because I thought, that's a great idea. They pointed out when you have a tablet like the iPad, you forget to charge it. This is a place that the tablet can live that's charging. Let me play a little bit of music so you can kind of hear what it sounds like. Let's see. I can't play music, can I? Something's playing. The bass has pretty good bass. BASE has pretty good BASS. The sound is good. It sounds good. You would probably use this as a single device, say, in the kitchen. I wouldn't. Let me pause this. Bob Dylan would never sue us, would he? No, you wouldn't sue us, would you, Bob? You wouldn't send us a cease and desist. It sounds very good. That's the point of the bass, I guess. That and the fact that it's charging. So if you have this maybe in the living room and you want, and you're watching TV and you wanted to check something, look something up, you can remove it and use it as an Android tablet. But most of the time, I suspect it's going to live on this base. Now, here's the thing. When it's on the base, it's pretty much functionally, it's very similar to the half as expensive Nest Hub Max. This has a camera in the front because you can use it for, well, I would say Google Duo, but they killed that product. You can use it for Zoom calls. It has the slideshow mode, which is very similar. The sound on this is arguably maybe a little bit better because, as you can see, the bass is a little bit larger. Let me play something just musically.
Here are some videos.
Oh, both of them will talk to you. Can I play the same song? I should have set that up. Oh, I can do this like with my voice. Hey, Google. Play Bob Dylan, Forever Young. Let's see what happens.
Here's a video I found from Search.
Same song. It pretty much sounds the same. In fact, you might even say that the Nest Hub Max is a little bit better, mightn't you? All right, let's stop this before Bob does anything. Thank you very much. So as music players, equivalent. As devices, of course, this is an Android, so it does a lot more. You could put any app on it that you could put on your Android phone or Android tablet. Again, many of them are not designed for this screen size. This is probably the single biggest downfall of Android tablets. I have to say, I bought this, even though it's twice as expensive, not because it does more, but just because of this. The fact that you can just unglue it from the base and carry it around. Now, Wintu Dao showed this on All About Android on Tuesday and knocked it off when she pressed the button on here. So a number of people pointed out this isn't the best magnet. I haven't had that problem. Once I understood how strong the magnet was, you know, don't worry. You don't, John Ashley's ready to catch it. You learn, you hold it a little bit when you press. Yeah, maybe it should be a little bit stronger, but you don't want it to be so strong that when you do this, it picks up the speaker, right? You need to have it loose enough so that it comes off easily. I think Google probably tested a variety of magnets and came up with this. And once you understand, once you've had it long enough and understand how strong or how weak the magnet is, I have not found this to be a problem. You see, I mean, it's on there pretty good. It's not falling off or anything. You have to kind of pry it off, tilt it off to get it off. My only concern really is that it's $500. This is $230, something like that. It really is a big price differential. If you need an Android tablet and you want to have something in your kitchen that pretty much does the same thing as the Nest Hub Max, I think this is a pretty good choice. But I brought them both in because I wanted you to see how similar they are. Kind of at least on the surface, you know, the sound quality is the same. I use the Nest Hub Max all the time in the kitchen for watching news. I can, because I have YouTube TV, I can say, you know, put on CNN. I can watch the news in the kitchen. I can even watch local channels in the kitchen. Yeah, I'll be able to do the same thing with this. This has a fingerprint reader. It has both a front face. I believe it has a front facing. You know, I actually didn't check. No, I guess it doesn't. It only has a back-facing camera. So that might be a little bit of a disadvantage, but it does have that. And it's a decent, you know, single lens camera. I think it's going to be hard for Google. If people know about the Nest Hub Max, it's going to be hard for people, for Google to sell this Pixel tablet. It just doesn't do twice as much more. The screen's about the same, right, John? Do you notice a difference in the screen quality? I think they're about the same. The bezels are smaller, of course, in the Pixel tablet. These are really pretty ugly bezels. I can imagine Google, if they wanted to continue to sell the Nest Hub Max, updating it to look a little bit more like this. But then you really say, well, why am I buying the more expensive Pixel tablet? It's solely so that you can do this. You can go, you can take this, you can sit on the couch. Battery life on this, I don't know yet because I haven't had it that long. And most of the time I leave it docked. But I think the battery life is a little bit shorter than on some of the other tablets. But, you know, that's fine. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time. I'm not going to travel with this tablet probably. This is a tablet for having in the house and pulling off when you need it and putting it back on when you want to use it in the kitchen or living room. So I like it. Thumbs up. I think the price differential is the biggest issue. If this costs the same as the Nest Hub Max, well, you'd buy the Pixel tablet. Is it worth an extra $230, $220 to have this detachable and to have it running Android? Remember, this is not running Android. This is running, you know, I guess it's Fuchsia, its own unique operating system designed for the Nest. This will do everything the Nest does. If you want to see your doorbell, if somebody rings a doorbell, it'll show up on here. It has the Google Voice Assistant. So it's not lacking anything, and it adds some features like fingerprint recognition, a camera on the back, and this detachable stand. I have to say, this has replaced the Nest Hub Max in my kitchen because I like having that additional capability. You'd have to decide whether it's worth the money for you. That is my comparison. I will have more. I'm going to take this over, keep this with me on the set because I can do that. Carry it back to the set with me. I hope you've enjoyed this review. Oh, interesting. Look at that. Attic display, because I named this the Attic display. Heard you ask for Bob Dylan Forever Young, but played it on the Nest Hub Max. Was that the right thing to do? And then you can correct it. So that's interesting that it could... You wouldn't want to have them side by side, but it can tell the difference. I don't know. This is kind of fun, you know, to have it in your lap. You can watch YouTube videos. I do think this is a good form factor you know, the tablet form factor.
Watch YouTube videos.
See, I'm watching myself.
I do think this is a good.
And by the way, the speakers on this are pretty good. It doesn't need the bass. In fact, I'm going to guess that it uses this and the bass. Like the bass might be the bass. Is that confusing? I should mute this, shouldn't I? It's a good screen. I think it's, you know, it's kind of a cool device. I think there might be there is a camera on this. There is a camera. I can see it now. Let me turn on the camera. I should probably go over there and do that, huh?
Is it take pictures as good as the Pixel?
Huh? No, it's not a Pixel quality camera. What are you, crazy?
$500.
What are you, nuts? Where's the camera? Oh, there it is. Allow cameras access to this device's location. Yeah, well, hell yeah. Okay. Turned on by default, top shot. Okay. So now this is that camera. How do I turn? Oh, there is a turnaround. Done. Would you like to see yourself? Here, this is what you look like. So that's the selfie cam, right? It's right up here. So this, you could also use this just in this form. Of course it has a selfie cam because you'd have to use it for Google Duo and stuff like that. All right. Let's move on. I'm going to take a couple more calls in just a bit. But first, a word from our sponsor. As you probably already know, because I say it every episode, bandwidth for Ask the Tech Guys and every other show we do is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. We love CacheFly. We've been using CacheFly practically since Twit started. There was absolutely no way for us to provide these downloads to the vast audience that we uncovered when we started without CacheFly. I was struggling to do it. And then along came Matt from CacheFly and he said, hey, I think we can help. And they have been ever since. Because one thing we learned, videos have to play right away. Viewers aren't going to hang around while you're buffering for 30 seconds. We also know if you've got a shopping cart, if the shopping cart takes seconds to load, shoppers abandon the cart. Gamers leave bad reviews if the latency is high. CacheFly solves these problems. Customers expect and deserve a faultless experience when they're engaging with content. We know this. Any device, anytime, anywhere in the world. That's why we use a content delivery network, CacheFly. They've been doing this since 1999. They have the track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery for more than 2 decades. In fact, back in 2002, more than 20 years ago, they pioneered the use of TCP Anycast. Now CDNs are starting to catch up, but CacheFly is always ahead of the curve. Quality of experience, that's the metric CacheFly uses, QOE. It's the most critical metric if you're serving content simultaneously to a large distributed audience on a global scale. Your delivery stack can be your secret weapon. Look at all these companies that use CacheFly. Ultra-low latency video streaming that can deliver video to more than 1 million concurrent users with less than 1 second latency. You get lightning-fast gaming, faster downloads, zero lag, no glitches, no outages. You get mobile content optimization. This is great for your website. Automatic, simple image optimization so your site loads faster on any device. CacheFly is the only CDN built for throughput, delivering rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods, 30% faster than other major CDNs. And I love the way CacheFly bills. You get month-to-month billing while you figure out what your usage trends are. CacheFly smooths out the spikes so that you don't have to pay for huge usage when it's slow the rest of the time. They help you figure that out. And then once you know what it's going to be, you can get fixed-term contracts that get discounts. Well, basically, the point is you design your own contract when you switch to CacheFly. 3,500 clients in 80 countries. CacheFly is the best for scalability, reliability, unrivaled performance. That's why we use them. That's why you should look them up and use them yourself. Learn how you get your first month free at CacheFly.com. CacheFly.com. Thank you, CacheFly, for making this all possible. I've got a wireless caller. I'm going to pick you up. Press star 6 to say your name and city. Hello, wireless caller. Do you hear me? How do they know that I've picked them up? Was there a beep?
Or hello?
That's you. Yes, you. Hello. Oh. What's your name?
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where are you calling from?
Lithia Springs, Georgia.
All right.
It's suburbs of Atlanta.
Welcome to the show. What's up?
I was going to disagree with you when you started off about the Android tablet. It's like most iOS people. You started off about the apps for Android.
Yeah.
Were not good. But it's the same with iOS with my iPad Air. Android tablet
It's very frustrating when there's an app that's designed for the phone that doesn't use the whole screen on the iPad, isn't it? And that happens with many Apple apps. Yeah. But that's up to the developer.
Yeah.
And I think the difference is on the Android side, there are so few Android tablet users. Developers are less likely to make an Android tablet version of their app available. Most of the time they go, well, I don't, you know, that's going to be a small audience. But that's fitting. Do you prefer your Android tablet to your Apple iPad?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I have the best Android tablet is the Samsung Tab S8.
Yeah, those are really good. Yeah.
And they have the 120 Hz screen, which, of course, the iPad Air 5 is just 60 Hz.
Right.
And it's just much better specs. And Samsung software takes advantage of a tablet much more than iOS software. And it's the same thing with the big iPhone. It just stretches apps, and they're bigger on the biggest iPhone.
I agree.
It's not like with Samsung how you got split screen and just, you know, you can have like 3 or 4 apps on the screen. So,
well, and I have to say, that's the problem also for the Pixel is they're competing against Samsung, which, unlike Google, weirdly enough, has been making a tablet ever since Android's first offered tablets. And they make very, very good Android tablets and a variety of them. So that's another question. If you're going to buy an Android tablet, should you even consider a Pixel? And I'd say probably for the price you're paying, you'd be better off getting like your Samsung Galaxy Tab. You'd be better off getting a Samsung.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't have a lot of those Samsung features.
Yeah. Samsung does make some cheap tablets, but if you go with the S8, any one of the 3 sizes,
yep.
I mean, it is so smooth. You know, fast processor, plenty of RAM, great screen, 120 Hz, you know. And
Google's going to say, yeah, well, we've got our own, you know, special Tensor processor in here, and this is going to have features that are better for AI and so forth and so on. And possibly that's the case. It remains to be seen. I think this is a very nice tablet. I agree with you. The top-of-the-line Samsungs are probably the only tablet you should consider if you're really going to be using an Android tablet. I think Google's positioning this more like, this is in your kitchen, and if you need a tablet, you just take it off the base and you got it. I don't think Google really wants to sell these standalone. I think that's really all about that base and all of that. Do you like the base?
I mean, I'm...
Do you like that idea?
Yeah, I'm glad Google made it. And I like for Apple to make plenty of different, you know, all of them.
That's my immediate reaction.
If they want them, they can buy it.
I want this. Yeah, that's
but the more, the better.
Yeah, that's exactly my reaction is, when's Apple going to do this? Because that's a good idea, that charging base. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good idea. So thank you for standing up for Google. Because, you know, I think I'm perhaps a little hard on Google tablets. Because you're right. Like most iPad users, we just dismiss the Google tablet as not quite as good. But I think that you're absolutely right. It deserves to be taken on its own merits. And I think it's quite good. It's quite good. So you're right. I apologize. You got me on that one. Hey, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for calling. I wanted somebody to defend it.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. And this is, this is pretty good, but it's not as good as the Samsung. I have to agree with you. Have a great one.
Right.
Take care.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Nice to hear from you.
Bye.
I like it when people use our phone number. That's great. Let's try Chris right now. See if we can get him up on the horn here. We've got a couple more minutes. Hi, Chris.
Hey, can you hear me?
Ah, ooh, listen to that. That sounds good. That's the difference between Zoom and the phone, isn't it? Where are you calling from, Chris?
Sparta, New Jersey.
Very nice to talk to you. What's
good
up?
Good to talk to you, too. Hey, my Heil PR 40 here.
No wonder you sound so good. Are you a professional?
I love it. I for years, I'd wanted to get into voiceover and, you know, years ago working at my first job working at a supermarket, people would come up to me and they go, oh, you have a great voice. You should be in radio or nice. Do something like that. And I always dismissed it. And I was like, you know what? What the heck? Let me give it a shot. So I did it, you know, a little bit here and there. And
you do have a great voice. Come to me and you don't have a Jersey accent. I don't know how you avoided that there.
No, you know what? There are some words that will come out with the Jersey accent. Yeah. After spending 2 years in Florida going to school with some Southerners, I started to say things like yesterday, just dropping my R's. So that would happen every once in a while.
You know, it's funny. Paul Thurrott, same thing. You hear the Dedham, the Massachusetts come through on just a few words. And my wife tells me that happens to me, too. I don't hear it personally. But she says when you say roof, or I say room. She says there's certain words you say that they don't sound right. And I guess I say apricot. She says apricot. I don't understand. Anyway.
Tomato, tomato.
So what can we do for you, Chris?
So I have a website that I've been, I recently got back into doing QuickTime Virtual Reality. Well, we used to be called QuickTime Virtual Reality, but now it's along the lines of taking a 360 camera, going into a store or something like that, and creating a walk around immersive tour using a 360 camera,
nice.
Putting it together in some software and uploading it to the client's website and being able to do that. One of the things that I came into realizing is that a lot of people who are building websites, they generally don't have, they're not using, a standalone kind of, not proprietary, they're using Wix and Squarespace.
Right. So they don't have a video player.
I'm sorry?
They don't have a video player.
Well, they do, but they don't allow you to upload a folder full of files that would make up the virtual tour.
Right.
So what I have to do is I then host it for them on my server, and I'm using Bluehost, which I'm happy with. But I would like to be able to make them snappier so they load more quickly and things like that. They're not bad, but I want to make it snappier. I've tried Cloudflare, and I've had run into some issues with things not loading properly. And I'm wondering, is there a way that a service, you know, maybe there's some way to mirror that. And I don't need it to be a worldwide thing. You know, this is usually local within, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania area. So I'm looking for something like that that will make my website snappier so that when somebody accesses one of these tours, it loads up quickly.
Yeah. I mean, you can always embed a YouTube video. You don't want
Well, these are, it's basically HTML files. They're not videos.
So you can convert them. So, YouTube, what do you shoot them with?
It's a Ricoh Theta X.
Okay.
And it's basically takes still images. You go into software like 3D Studio, not 3D Studio Max.
No, I understand. I have one. In fact, I uploaded a bunch of 360 degree videos taken on the Ricoh. I'll give you an example. This was shot in the Galapagos. And so this is on YouTube. So the YouTube understands the format. If I go full screen.
And that would be great if these were video, but everything that I'm shooting are still images.
Oh, they're still images. Embedded,
and you click on part of the video, or not the video, but the image, and then you can move it, advance to the next area.
Let me get some, for some reason, I take it back. It's not displaying. So never mind. I guess it worked. It used to work. In fact, you can see it has a 360. I see. So these are stills. And what Correct. Do you want people to be able to do? To move with their mouse around and look around?
Well, yes. And that's what happens. So when people go in, they can click around and they can look everywhere. And then there's like a little target on the floor that they click on. It takes them to the next area. And then they can look around and there's, you know, a target or something, and they can click on that. It takes them to the next area.
Doesn't Ricoh, I seem to remember Ricoh had its own gallery for these things, right?
They do, yes.
And then you can
upload. But then I have to pay them on top of my hosting that, you know, I have anyway for my own website.
That's theta360.com where you can upload them and then you can embed it using HTML. You can embed it on the customer site. But yeah, you'd have to pay.
And that's what I do. Yes.
So you're doing it, but you're doing it from your own server as opposed from Theta 360. And what you would like to do is put it on somebody else's server for free?
Well, no, I have my own server because I'm using it anyway for hosting for my own website. So I put their tour in a folder on my website and I provide them with the embed code and a link so that they can share it on social media and things like that. But I want to make it snappier. So I'm wondering if something like Cloudflare is going to make it better, but I don't need, you know, worldwide coverage here. You know, yeah. We're talking about local.
Yeah. So how, I don't know on Bluehost how much access you have to the lower level features of it. Do they let you, for instance, modify the settings on your web server?
To an extent, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can change like the settings for, you know, WordPress and how much, you know, RAM is allotted to WordPress and each one of the instances and things like that. They're it's pretty robust.
Okay. So, depending on how much control you have of it, it is possible. What you want to do is something. So you want to make the picture load faster, right? There's a yes. few seconds. How long does it take right now?
I mean, it's only a couple of seconds, yeah. but you know,
you'd just like it to show up. The problem, the reason it takes so long is it's a large image. How big are those files?
Yeah, they are. It doesn't load the entire tour right away, but you know, a larger tour can be several hundred megabytes, and it loads a little bit at a little bit at a time as you walk through.
So here's the issue: there could be latency on your side. Your server is taking a while to spin up and to do it, and so forth. Cloudflare can help with that with something called load balancing. But there's the other side of it is, which is they still on whoever is going to that website, that grocery store website, has to download 100 megabytes worth of data before they can start moving around.
Well, it doesn't load all the 100 megabytes,
but it loads significant enough, right? Because it's not going to, otherwise it's not going to be able to move around. There's a lot of pixels it needs to get. And so some of the snappiness is really just your customer's bandwidth.
Sure.
And nothing a load balancer would do to help that. Because they still have to get that data. So very often we use a metric time to first view or time to first control where how long before when I hit the website before I can actually move that image so that I have a feeling that I'm, you know, getting. And we were just talking with Cashfly about the idea that that shouldn't be more, you know, than a second or two. People are not going to. I've seen stats that say after 3 seconds, people go away. I mean, it's really quick. Nowadays, people are very impatient. So I understand what you're worried.
People have the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah, I understand what you're worried about. There's only some things you can fix. You can't fix the amount of data that has to download because that's completely contingent on the user's bandwidth. Do you know how much data has to be loaded from that image before you can actually manipulate it? Is it a megabyte? Is it 10 megabytes?
You know, I don't know. It's only a couple of megabytes. I don't know specific, but it's only a couple of megabytes because it downloads the first image and, you know, whatever part of the interface needs to be there. And then it loads it up in a low resolution version as it's loading the high res version.
Right, right. Although, as is often the case, that's, you know, still not going to be satisfactory to the user.
Right.
So you cannot control how fast their bandwidth is. You obviously want to have it start working as quickly as possible with as little bandwidth usage as possible.
Right.
Understand that you can't help how slow the user's connection is. What can you do on your side? And it may well be that Bluehost is adding to this laggy latency because it's taken a while to get going and it's not as fast coming out. The solution to that is load balancing. That's what Cloudflare will do. It'll allow you to start 3 or 4 streams, for instance, of data coming to the user so that the user is going to use all of their bandwidth. You know, you want them to get as fast as they possibly can. And it may be that Bluehost is, I just don't know, is a part of this equation that's slowing you down. The pictures are hosted on your server?
Yes, on Bluehost.
Okay. In general, my experience has been these hosting companies are designed to host kind of lightweight stuff, HTML, CSS, and they're speedy with that. As the content becomes richer, they are maybe not as optimal for that. And you're loading the most, you know, the richest stuff. Let me see.
Maybe I should pick their brains and see if they have a solution.
Yeah, they may have a partner that they work with. Here's an article that Scooter X just sent me from Similar Tech, which compares Amazon's elastic load balancing, which is kind of what you want to use with Bluehost. They both cost money.
That's expected.
Yeah. You know, Bluehost is in fact the number one hosting for this solution. It's interesting. It looks like Bluehost is widely used for media, this kind of stuff. I would ask them, there may be an upsell, but I would ask them what they can do for load balancing to get faster loading of your 3D content.
All right, that's a good idea.
Because I think that that's probably something they can help you with by giving you load balancing capabilities within Bluehost, which would be ideal. Is it going to be free? No.
No, it's a business. I expect to pay for it. Yeah. And I'm willing to.
Yeah, and yeah, you're just going to charge your customers for it. So, right. You know, and take an extra 10%, and then everybody wins. So right. I think they're going to have a solution. And you're right about load balancing. You see what the problem is. If you use Cloudflare, they're not going to cache it. Maybe they are going to cache it. But I think you really want to do it on Bluehost. You want to be doing load balancing on the place where that content exists.
Okay.
It may be that I'm not enough of an expert on this to know whether CacheFly, Cloudflare, or perhaps even an Amazon service could help you caching it. What they'd have to do is cache the entire amount so that in effect, even though your page is coming from Bluehost, the content for the 3D image is coming from the cache. And Cloudflare, I'm pretty sure, could do that. I'm just not sure how that you would set that up. So that's right. What you're looking for. The words are load balancing. And you're looking for somebody that will host the content or at least cache the content so that it's coming from them. I'd say start with Bluehost, see what their pricing is, and then do some research on Cloudflare's load balancing and see what, you know, if that'll work for you. Cloudflare offers a lot of services other people charge for free.
Right.
They have an interesting business model. I have no problem with you using that. Are the customers, the people visiting the website, all in the U.S. or are they all over the world?
No, they're generally in the local area. It's all local businesses.
Local. Okay. So I think Bluehost would be fine for that. One of the reasons people use Cloudflare is for more of a global presence.
Right.
You know,
and that was one of the things I was starting to research was that, you know, a lot of people who are talking about this load balancing are worldwide, and I don't need that. So,
right. We'll put a link into to Cloudflare's load balancing explainer that helps you maybe understand what they're doing here. This is the trick. I don't know if you've already read up on this or not. I'm not an expert, so I'm not giving you specifics. I'm sorry to say, because I just don't know. But I would say take a look at that. They would have to cache the content to make that useful. Because if they have to get it from you and then give it to the customer, there's no way that's going to be faster than the customer getting it from you directly.
No, so, I wouldn't expect. And I think that was my understanding is they'll cache it. You know, once the data is there,
the first time
check out every once in a while,
exactly.
The and first then time they're hitting, you know, people are hitting Cloudflare rather than your site,
right? Save each server, distribute traffic accordingly.
All right, I'll check out that thing.
Yeah, I'm just not sure, but we'll put that in the show notes. It sounds like a really interesting business, and I'm sure realtors and would also be interested in this.
You would think that, but the realtors, unless they're selling multi-million-dollar homes, they just want to do the absolute minimum required to sell the, and make the most profit.
Yeah.
So I find it's mostly restaurants, wedding venues. They're the people who are interested.
Oh, yeah, wedding venues, sure. Because the bride wants the bride-to-be wants to see what it's going to look like.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even I had one customer just recently I finished up. They have a wedding venue and a really nice restaurant. And she was saying, this is going to help me because I can send this link out to people and they can immediately see whether or not they're going to waste my time if they're like, yeah, you know what? This isn't the spot.
Exactly.
So that's a huge for them.
Sure. I mean, I've seen quite a few of these and they always take time for me to load. I'm just kind of accept that, you know, it's going to be a while. I'm loading a VR representation, you know, a 3D representation of this. This is a lot of data. So I expect that, but maybe some customers just say, well, where is the picture? Where is the image? I don't see it. Do you put a loading banner up or something? Let them know.
You'll get a little thing that says loading tour, you know, yeah. Please wait. And that's, yeah. I mean, I'm on a gigabit Ethernet at home. So, you know, I've got a gigabit up and down.
So, you know, internet, you're not the problem, but you're as fast as it's ever going to be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would talk to Bluehost. I bet you they have a solution for this. Any good hosting company should.
Yeah. And they come highly rated, you know, any of the searches I've ever done.
Yeah. 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 They're very good.
All right. I appreciate your information.
Hey, it's a great business. What's the website? Oh, do you want to give it out?
Sure. It's called abettervirtualtour.com.
A Better Virtual Tour. And you're mostly in the Jersey area?
I'm in northern New Jersey here, but, you know, I will travel, you know, a couple hours if somebody's
Because you really got to go with your Theta and take the pictures and all that.
Yes. Yep.
I brought with me on our last trip the Osmo 360, or is that what it's called? I always forget. I think it's the Osmo 360. And I shot quite a bit of 360 degree video, which no one will ever see because it's just a big pain in the butt. So let me so which one should I load just to see how long it takes?
You know what? The first one on the upper left hand corner there is the Barrymore Film Center in Fort Lee.
All right. Let's see. Now this is a very fast connection. It says loading virtual tour. There's the first black thing. But see, this is the problem now. It's just, you know, I think this is me because I wasn't able to load my, I've got some sort of weird setting going on here.
Okay.
But that was not bad. That got to the first click within a second or two, which is pretty darn good. I don't know why I can't actually see it, but I noticed I couldn't see the other thing. Let's see. The Firefly Studio, Warwick, New York. Yeah, I'm not getting images. It's load. You know, I have to say, it loads pretty quickly. For me, it loads within a second.
You got a beefy pipeline, too.
I got a 480, as we just saw, 480 megabit pipeline. Is it loading for you? Yeah, it's something on this machine, which is weird because it's Windows 11. Oh, maybe it's not so weird. Pleasure talking to you, Chris.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How fast did that load for you?
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think maybe you just got clients with slow internet. But see, that's the problem is we get used to this fast internet we have here with our gigabit connections. And there are a lot of people
who
don't have that kind of connection. I don't think your server is so much of the problem, to be honest with you.
All right, good.
Yeah. Hey, it's nice talking to you.
All right. Same here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you to all of you for joining us for a solo Ask the Tech Guy episode. We will be back next Sunday with two tech guys, double the information. Remember, you can always email us atg@twit.tv during the week. And that phone number is live during the week too, 888-724-2884. You can leave us a voicemail. I bet you we had a lot of voicemails and I didn't even think of asking for them. So leave us a voicemail. Try to keep it under 30 seconds. We're more likely to use it if it's shorter. And always start with your first name and city because I like to know where you're calling from. Again, 888-724-2884. You'll be live on the show if you call between 2 and 5 Eastern on Sundays. But otherwise, you can leave a message. And, of course, the Zoom during the show is called twit.tv. We record this show, and you can watch us doing it live with all the glitches, all the failures, all the flops that get edited out later, every Sunday, 11 to 1 Pacific, 2 to 5 Eastern, 1800 UTC, at live.twit.tv. There's a live audio stream and a live video stream. Yes, we do video of this show. You can subscribe to the audio and the video. If you go to the website, twit.tv/ATG, You'll see a link to the YouTube channel dedicated to the show. You'll see what you can subscribe to. You know, what is it? Smash the bell, hit the button. Smash the like button and hit the bell, baby. I was trying to watch all those people at VidCon. I don't speak that language. Yeah, I'm an old guy. But you can subscribe in your podcast client. You'll see the links at the webpage to a couple of the big ones. But, you know, there's also just search for Ask the Tech Guys. You should be able to find it in your favorite podcast client. If you're watching live, we've got a live chat room. I use it, as you can see. You guys are team tech guys. At irc.twit.tv. Of course, our Club Twit members have their very own stadium club in the discourse. You can always go to that if you're a member of Club Twit. twit.tv/clubtwit. Sorry about that. They'll cut that out. See, now that you're watching live, you're going to see all the coughing and the hemming and the hawing. Love the Club Twit. We'd love to have you in there. twit.tv/clubtwit. I guess that's everything I need to say, except I'll see you next time. Have a great geek week. Bye-bye.
Hey, I know you're super busy, so I won't keep you long, but I wanted to tell you about a show here on the Twit Network called Tech News Weekly. You are a busy person, and during your week, you may want to learn about all the tech news that's fit to, well, say, not print, here on Twit. It's Tech News Weekly. Me, Micah Sargent, my co-host, Jason Howell. We talk to and about the people making and breaking the tech news, and we love the opportunity to get to share those stories with you and let the people who wrote them or broke them share them as well. So I hope you check it out every Thursday right here on Twit.